Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
BA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Wednesday, New Year's Eve, 2025, and we are here live. Today we're going to be talking about looking back at a year of Trump's professional wrestling as WWE-style chaos. And in Minnesota, Little Mogadishu, we see all of the hallmarks of federal welfare, immigration magnet, and fraud at its finest. It is a microcosm of bipartisan corruption and apathy. Both sides knew about this. Yes, it is the governor's responsibility. They didn't even want to talk about it. And it really is shameful when you go back and look at what was known a decade ago, and as the GOP pushed back against that. We also have rumors that have been left standing by Trump. Rumors of boots on the ground in Ukraine as the CIA is bombing, allegedly bombing the ground in Venezuela. Boots on the ground in Ukraine. And then, of course, Netanyahu's 30-year dream may come true next year. He may get his war with Iran and have us fight it for him. And then we're going to take a look at an unbelievably bad bill from Marsha Blackburn, who seems to have lost all of her copies of the Constitution this year, as well as any memory of it. We'll be right back. As a matter of fact, when we look at this last year, I want to begin with a look back at what Mediaite calls the Trump chaos machine. I've been saying that he is an agent of chaos, and we need to get smart. Where's Maxwell Smart in Agent 86 when we need him, right? So on social media, they've got me in a cone of silence. But we can take a look at really how this guy operates. Yeah, we've all talked about this, and we know this. We know that he throws out one crazy thing, one crazy idea, one conflict after the other. And it really is all about creating conflict unnecessarily. Look at what he did with Canada, for example, right? We've got the bourbon industry is on the ropes between the hatred that Trump has built up for American products and kind of a boycott of bourbon and Canada. Between that and the tariffs, you've got distilleries in Kentucky going out of business left and right. And so that's just one industry, but it's happening in a lot of different industries. It's happening with farmers, for example, because He is going to be focused more on Argentina. That's one of the things that Marjorie Taylor Greene said. She said, well, we got Zelensky today. We got Netanyahu tomorrow. Could we just do America? You know, it's not like there's nothing happening here in America. Maybe you guys need to take a look at the billions of dollars in just one area of fraud that's there. But as they pointed out, it is a deliberate, what Trump does with his chaos, it is a deliberate stacking of controversies. Faster than any accountability can form. And as soon as people start looking at it and analyzing it, he moves on to something else. Just keep it coming. And of course, he understands the system. He knows that we're going to talk about it because it's just too outrageous, too over the top. And he uses that. And I think it needs to be talked about because his conduct is outrageous. He needs to be called out on it. And he needs to be called out about the precedents that he is setting. This is a guy who is all about chaos. He is all about setting precedents, dangerous precedents, illegal, unconstitutional precedents that are going to be used by presidents, and that's why they're letting these things go through. The Democrats want it. The Republicans want it. They want to rule as a king. How many times have we heard both Democrats and Republicans say, oh, if only I could rule like a dictator in China. You know, these guys can do whatever they want. And then they all talk about, well, you know, I could save the planet with green orders. You know, it's, yeah, everybody wants to be a dictator, right? They imagine they're going to be a benevolent dictator. And you have their supporters wanting them to be dictators, imagining that they're going to be benevolent dictators. Guess what? That's a fantasy. That's one of the craziest things about the technocracy. These guys thinking that they're going to have a more libertarian, they sell it to you. And they, you know, they talk about their dark enlightenment and all the rest of this stuff. Saying, yeah, we need to have libertarian principles. But the only way we're going to get to a libertarian society is if we put in a dictator to do that. That's about the dumb. When you look at that, and Peter Thiel and these people who are selling this Curtis Yarvin thing, you have to look at that and say, if they really believe this, if they're not just trying to pull the wool over our eyes, if they really believe this, these guys are not as big a threat as they appear to be. They can do a lot of damage with all the money that they've got. But they are truly fools if they think that's really going to happen, that you're going to get liberty by installing a dictator who's going to dictate liberty to everybody. Well, the pardons rewrote history. The firings eliminated oversight. The diplomacy became spectacle. Language became loyalty. Access became enforcement. The media couldn't ignore it, which was always the point. By the end of the year, the pattern was unmistakable. January 6 pardons became background noise by February. The Epstein file scandal that convulsed MAGA world in July was recycled and then forgotten by September, only to come back in force by December. The White House ballroom construction that would have politically damaged a previous presidency barely registered as October news. An assassination was absorbed into the churn. That's Charlie Kirk's. Courts blocked the same unconstitutional orders month after month while Trump simply moved on. Inspector generals were purged in a single night. The kill switch got flipped on 60 Minutes. Gaza was pitched as a resort. Way more than 18 holes. The Associated Press was banned from the Pentagon. The military was told Democratic cities were training grounds, and each month brought revelation and erasure in equal measure. Velocity replaced consequence. Spectacle replaced governance. The trap, of course, is that documenting this becomes part of the pattern. Every timeline proves the strategy worked. Every recap demonstrates how he dominated coverage. The media couldn't look away, and by covering it all, became the distribution system for the chaos. There is no neutral position when attention itself is the battlefield. And look at the attention that they give him. You know, whether it's about all these little minutiae about his health. Yes, he's 79 years old. And, yeah, he's got bruises on his hands and so forth. And the speculation and the hand-wringing about that. It is silly, really, the extent that it's happening. But there are many things that he's putting in as he has this continually evolving cascade of spectacles and outrages. He is putting in some very, very dangerous precedents that are there. And the Republicans are all going along with it for the most part. I think one of the most hopeful trends is actually coming from Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is saying some very powerful truths. And the opponents of Trump are giving her some press coverage. And hopefully, people will listen to it. It is... you know, what she's saying now is true. She was a sycophant before, and but now there is a break between the two of them. She's actually telling some very damning truths about Trump. So perhaps that'll wake MAGA up. Perhaps not. Perhaps they can't be waking up. There is no neutral position when attention itself is a battlefield. What follows is both record and admission, a month-by-month chronicle of how Trump governed and how the media allowed itself to be used, even as it understood what was happening. Because the media, both left and right, love Trump. When Trump is in, they get more views. Because they can cover all of this professional wrestling, all this WWE froth. It's good for both the left and the right media. They're both making a lot of money from it. So what they did was they went through on a month-by-month thing, and I think it's interesting just to recap just as at a distance how quickly things changed. Remember in January, started out with the January 6th pardons. We had Doge as a co-presidency, and then you had Canada. And all the nonsense about fentanyl. Remember, Jack Posobiec goes to the border. It's amazing. We've got this border here with Canada, and there's no guard dogs or towers or barbed wire. People can just walk back and forth. It's like, that was never a problem, Jack. And it's not a problem now. They're not bringing fentanyl in. That's just Trump's nonsense. And it was utter nonsense. All this stuff about trolling them about being the 51st state. And then Greenland, maybe the 52nd state. Remember that? And we talked about Greenland. And then by February, it was all about the Gaza Resort video that he put out there, the bearded belly dancers that were out there. And Trump reposted that AI video with a lot of slop in it, but it showed really what their true plans are. If you go back and you look at what he's doing, he's got real estate developers. You know, Witkoff is a real estate developer partner, and Kushner are going, they're looking at how they can grift around and make money off this land that they take after they kill the people on it. Then we had the fight at the Pentagon where he starts purging the press out of there. The Epstein stunt with all the binders, remember that? Yeah, look, we're releasing all the stuff and they had all the useful idiots who, by the way, have not paid a price in public opinion for participating in that masquerade and fraud. Isn't that the most amazing thing? You know, when you look at these people, these hand-picked influencers, you would think that everybody just walk away from them at that point in time, but no, you don't. It doesn't matter anymore. Now, you can lie to people about January the 6th, about Stop the Steal, all the rest of the stuff. You can tell people that the vaccine is sugar water. You can pretend that the pandemic is real, that it came out of it's Chinese flu, it's Wu flu, it came out of the Wuhan lab. You can pretend all that stuff, and even when people realize it's nonsense, they still tune in and follow these guys. And then he had the big fight that he staged with Zelensky in the Oval Office. That was, now we're only up to February with all that stuff. Then by March, we got more tariff threats, and they're happening there. And that's really where the focus went in March. By April, you had Liberation Day tariffs, a scheme to liberate you from low prices, to liberate you from your money, to liberate us from a lot of retail and manufacturing businesses who can't handle the constant changes from Trump in terms of what these taxes are. Look, the taxes could be really high and they could be really low. The important thing is you got to keep them at a fixed rate so people can make plans. If you're constantly changing them, there's nothing that is more destructive and unmanageable. As I said before, even about the soybean stuff, why do we have the Chicago Board of Trade? You know, when they do the commodities and they have the trading pits that are there. That whole thing was set up to bring stability to agricultural prices. You have to have stability in prices if you're going to be able to make a business plan. And people were willing to pay a premium for that, to have that kind of stability. And so what Trump did is far more damaging than just nuking the Chicago Board of Trade and saying, that's it, you guys can't operate anymore. Or we're going to take them out with a CIA drone strike. And so it was a tremendous whiplash. And, of course, Trump always begins with a lie about an emergency. And then on the basis of his lying, phony emergency, he operates as a dictator. And he defies anybody to do anything about it. And, of course, Congress is not going to do anything about it. Mike Johnson is nothing other than a puppet, and everybody knows it. And so nothing is going to happen in Congress. The only thing, the only recourse that anybody has is to take them to the courts, and that takes forever for it to run through and get a hearing and come up with something. So he can run on with this stuff for a year and then come back and say, well, now if you undo this policy, it's going to be really, really destructive. Well, guess what? Trump didn't care about the open free trade system that was set up, which, by the way, I've got a lot of problems with that, and I've said that over many, many years. I don't like that system. However, that's something that has been set up for many decades. And Trump had no problem at all just ripping that out in 1 or 2 days.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And it does cause a lot of destruction. But his policies and the money that they've taken in over these assumed powers that they don't have the authority for, if you take that away and they have to turn that money back in, that's not going to be any more destructive than Trump going in and ripping out decades of a different trade policy. Then by May, you had NPR and PBS being defunded, lawsuits against the media, and then you started seeing the escalated ICE wars going into the blue states, which at this point in time, I got to say, when I look at this Minnesota stuff, it's like he wants to go to war with blue states and he wants to maybe have public opinion to support this. Why in the world wouldn't you start with Minneapolis and Minnesota, the place that's called Little Mogadishu? And it's been called that for over a decade. This has been a problem going back a decade. The Republicans knew about it as well. And, of course, it's corruption from Tim Walz. It's his responsibility. He's the one who's been shutting any efforts to try to do anything about this down effectively. And they could have embarrassed him. They could have gone to war with him. They could have gone to war with all this massive fraud. There would have been public support for that. Instead, Trump chooses to go to other places where he's going to have a lot of opposition because he wants the chaos. As I said from the very beginning, if he wants to fix something about this welfare magnet stuff, go to the states that are going to be on his side and work with them and do it in an orderly way. Do it with due process and so forth. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to federalize the police. He wants to have a little civil war, maybe a bigger civil war. That's his goal. It's not really reform. He wants conflict, always conflict. And even when he could have had conflict in Minnesota, Minneapolis, he chose to go for a different form of conflict. So then by June, we're doing strikes on Iran for Israel. We have more issues about the Federal Guard being nationalized and using them against the wishes of a state governor. And all of this is escalating at that point in time. By July, he declares the Epstein case is closed. And MAGA is very upset about that. Musk quietly goes away from Doge, but it's still there. They're not talking about it. And then you had at that point in time, you had Marjorie Taylor Greene along with Thomas Massey and two other women that were there that pushed back to release this stuff. And so you start having in July, the Congress is shut down early by Mike Johnson just because of the Epstein documents. I mean, this is not a tabloid distraction, folks. This is something that goes to the core of the character of Donald Trump, the core character of our Congress. And it tells us something about the people who really are the government, the CIA, the people who will set up sexual blackmail, honey traps, even using young girls to get what they want. That's what the CIA is. That's what the CIA does in order to get power and money for its criminal wars, for its drug running and all the rest of the stuff. They get engaged in prostitution, pedophilia, all the rest of the stuff, because that's the way you blackmail people today. You got to go to pedophilia. I mean, pretty much everything else has been normalized. You know, there's no shame in America for anything other than pedophilia. And I guess maybe Trump is going to fix that so that not even that is something that is people are ashamed of. By August, you have the summit with Putin. You have Trump putting out his little AI video about being the king and dropping excrement on the Democrat areas. And then you get to September. A lot of things happen in September. Epstein resurfaces. You have the beginning of the Venezuelan war crimes that he's conducting here, attacking people in international waters where he doesn't have a declaration of war, where these are not combatants. And as I said from the very beginning, the very first strike, it's not the fact they circled back and executed people who were waving for help, shipwrecked. The classic case that is in the American military manuals. Why is it there? Because that was a kind of reprehensible conduct that was engaged in by the German U-boat commanders, submarine commanders. They'd hit a ship and they'd come back and kill everybody. And so that abomination surfaced later, but it was abomination from the very beginning. These people were not a threat. They were not shooting. This was not in self-defense. There was no declaration of war. And there was no fentanyl. All of that stuff was a lie. And so then he threatens Colombia, and turns out that Colombia, the biggest source of cocaine, is also getting a lot of money from the U.S. government. I mean, it's just like the Somalian thing, right? We're bombing El Shabaab and all these in Somalia, pretty much a record number of bombing runs in Somalia this year. But at the same time, we're giving them billions of dollars in fraud. They know about it. They choose not to do anything about it, both Republicans and Democrats. It's a bipartisan apathy about that. And so, yeah, Colombia, we have to have a war on drugs, and yet we're giving money to Colombia. Until you have the Colombian president say something that offends Trump personally. Then there was the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and that got a lot of attention, especially the fact that at the memorial, as we pointed out yesterday, instead of forgiving people, Trump says, I hate my enemies, I want to get even with them. And showing so much grief about Charlie Kirk, as people ask him about it, he says, yeah, it was terrible. Oh, by the way, have you seen my plans for the ballroom yet? That type of thing. Really was a character defining moment, just like the Epstein documents, if you're paying attention. And then this White House ballroom thing, look at how it is escalating. As many people are saying, we only think they're building a bunker for Trump because he wants to take us to war. Got to have something that they can get into very, very quickly there. Who knows what they're going to do with it? I mean, it could just be fraud, waste, and abuse, or it could be something that is really big. And the election losses in November, more seizures in Venezuela. We have the civil asset forfeiture now of giant oil tankers with millions of barrels of oil. This is the progression of the failed war on drugs. And so all this talk about treason, if you say that people should not be following illegal orders, And of course, the how shallow the Democrats are in terms of their convictions. When asked if there were any illegal orders, well, I can't think of anything. You know, I mean, shooting people in international waters without declaration of war, without any threat being made, oh, I can't think of anything that'd be wrong with that, they said when pressed on it. That's how pathetic the Democrats are, because they want this power as well. And so the shutdown that lasted forever, the illegal order sham fight, and it was a sham fight, because the Democrats are always doing illegal orders. And they're pretending that, well, this is just a hypothetical. We don't want to take Trump on over this illegal war with Venezuela. Then by December, we saw the Epstein thing finally reopened after all the delaying tactics. And we're starting to get some information. It's one of the reasons why Trump was having a bad Christmas day and attacking people there. But a lot of war being queued up for the next year here. And we're ending the war here with attacks on the ground in Venezuela, allegedly. The interesting thing about this, I want to talk about this coming up, is supposedly it happened last week. Venezuela hasn't said anything about it. Trump dropped some hints to try to get the ball rolling since nobody's asking him about it. And everybody's wondering, you know, what really happened, because this is supposedly, according to Trump, it's a devastating attack. All of his attacks are devastating, right? Except nobody really knows where it is. There's guesses about it, but they're not really sure. So not that big of an attack. But we know they're signaling us, and this is really a trial balloon more than it is attack, I think. You know, what are people going to say about it? Well, they're not going to do anything about it, just like they're not going to do anything about all the rest of his usurpations throughout this year. By year's end, the defining feature of Trump's second presidency wasn't any single scandal, any single decision. It was the sheer velocity that made remembering them nearly impossible. This wasn't accidental. Trump governed through saturation, confident that a media ecosystem built up to chase novelty would amplify every provocation while struggling to retain any of them. And I think it really is important to understand where this guy is coming from. All the years of experience that he had with WWE, I mean, he's watched these guys come up with phony narratives, and he knows how the conflict sells. So he decides that he's going to create conflict where there isn't any conflict, because he knows that people are going to tune in. That's why he goes after Canada and so forth.
I think another thing the WWE teaches you is that people want to buy in. You don't even have to give them necessarily a believable lie, just so long as it's one that aligns with what they want to believe.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Travis. And I think it also told him how to use some blood squibs that came in handy in the campaign with an earshot. You know, I think he learned how to take a fall and to make it look like he's bleeding. I don't know, maybe he really did cut his ear with a razor blade. That's what the professional wrestlers do. What broke wasn't just decorum or tone, it was muscle memory. Oversight became episodic. Court rulings became optional performance art. The press learned that even perfect documentation doesn't guarantee consequences if the next spectacle arrives quickly enough. The public learned to live inside permanent provisionality, where nothing is settled and nothing is finished, and outrage itself expires on contact. The cost of the fire hose wasn't just exhaustion. It was erosion of trust, of institutional confidence, and of the expectation that power must eventually answer for itself. Now, that's a key thing there. I think that is true. And that is the hallmark of the fourth turning. And that's why I said Trump was installed as the agent of chaos, as the accelerant, as we're getting close to the end of this fourth turning. They need to get this accelerated. And, of course, one of the key aspects of the fourth turning is that people lose all trust in institutions and all confidence in them. He's working at that very hard, as well as working to create a civil war. Right now it's a cold civil war. Who knows if he's going to make it hot. Trump didn't break the system. He understood it better than the system understood itself. Well, he's out there crying wolf this entire year. The interesting thing, I think, is that it might be Michael Wolff who ultimately has him crying. Because one of the things that they didn't mention was the fact that Trump and Melania have taken the precedent that was set of lawfare against him, and they've ramped it up to 11 on the amplifier. And they are using that as intimidation, everybody. And I said it was very interesting that they would threaten to sue all these different people who repeated the what Michael Wolff said he learned from Jeffrey Epstein in the interviews, and in terms of the relationship of Trump and Melania to Epstein. And so as people would repeat what he said and what he wrote in his book, I said, it is interesting, isn't it, that they keep coming after the people who repeat what Michael Wolff said rather than going after Michael Wolff. Well, they finally did threaten Michael Wolff. They didn't do a lawsuit. They just sent him a threatening letter. And he said, it's on. I'll sue you. I'm not going to wait for you to sue me. And so that's going to be very interesting. I think that'll be very interesting, especially I guess they were concerned that he might have made tapes, as journalists and authors usually do when they're interviewing. Who knows? Maybe he's got them. Maybe he doesn't have them. But I think it's going to be kind of interesting. The wolf is at the door this next year for them with Epstein. This is not going to go away. It just keeps building, because it was something that really defines his character and lack of it. Not only what he did with Jeffrey Epstein, but what he has done with these documents. And so he is an accelerationist. Trump is the gasoline that our masters have thrown on the dumpster fire at this end of the fourth turning. Expect a much larger fire next year. And so I guess we'd say, thank you for your attention. As he always ends his stuff, right? You know, and now for my next distraction.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, Trump, treason, and the New York Times. This is from Mises. They point out how last week Trump denounced the New York Times as a serious threat to national security of our nation, enemy of the people. They're traitors. Anybody that comes against him is, as they put it, chasing women, this is New York Times, right? Chasing women for Trump was a game of ego and dominance. Female bodies were the currency. And, you know, when you look at this game of ego and dominance that Epstein and Trump were playing with each other, that's what eventually blew up their relationship. It was ego and dominance in a war about some property in West Palm Beach. Which, again, stop and think about that. I said that to Karen this morning. I said, why do they call it West Palm Beach? I mean, it's not even the west coast of Florida. It's as far east as you can get without getting into the ocean. Everything about that place is a lie. It might be Palm Beach, but it's not West Palm Beach. West Palm Beach ought to be on the west coast, at least of Florida. Anyway, because America's founders had seen horrific political abuses in England, says Mises, In prior times, the Constitution specifically and narrowly defines treason. Defined like this: treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act, or on confession in open court. Not a confession in a star chamber, right? And so they had seen, this is something that is a hallmark of dictators and kings, that you start throwing out charges of treason to everybody. And said, no, this is what treason is, very special case. Trump is instead trying to use laissez-majeste standard of treason, presuming that anything that denigrates the supreme leader is a betrayal of the nation. In other words, I am the law. I am the nation. And that is Trump's attitude. In the wake of January the 6th clash in the U.S. Capitol, many Democrats wanted to label any protester who entered the Capitol as a traitor. Even before Trump supporters poured into the Capitol that day, Democrats were accusing them of sedition for filing legal challenges to the election results, including popular Twitter hashtags such as hashtag GOP seditious traitors and hashtag treason against America. And we heard this over and over again till it lost any meaning. If we go back to 2006, the author of this article was heavily involved in what was happening as the Republicans leading the charge to condemn the media for treason. On June 23, 2006, the New York Times revealed that the Bush administration had been illegally vacuuming up financial records that passed through a Belgium hub for international banking. The Bush White House quickly relabeled the surveillance program the, quote, terrorist finance tracking program, and thus the media became guilty of helping terrorists destroy America. Treasury Secretary John Snow denounced the New York Times article as, quote, irresponsible and harmful to the security of Americans and freedom-loving people worldwide. So freedom-loving people miraculously became the card that they would use against the First Amendment. We just saw this, as I reported yesterday, in the EU. If you're going to push back against these tyrants like Thierry Breton, Ursula von der Leyen in the EU, if you're going to push back against them, well, we're going to push back. We are now the bastion of freedom because we are supporting censorship. And because you come after the people who are supporting censorship, now you're the tyrants. See how upside down that logic is? Well, it's the same thing here with the Bush administration. If you oppose government surveillance without a warrant, then you're not freedom-loving. This is what we always see from these people. So he said, I appeared briefly on Fox, Hannity, and Combs the day the Times story was published. My criticism of the warrantless surveillance provoked enraged emails against me, he said. One guy suggested that, quote, every know-nothing lying jackass like you should be rounded up and gassed with the Iraqi poison gas that does not exist, according to you. Well, actually, it didn't. He failed to explain this connection between the actual illegal surveillance and the imaginary poison gas. They did actually poison people with gas with the help of the U.S. We told them where to poison the people. But the other weapons of mass destruction were fabrication from the person that Trump would elevate to the head of the CIA, Gina Haspel, along with torture and the cover-up of the torture. So he said, I observed that the endless threats of treason prosecutions against whistleblowers, reporters, and editors may be a last-ditch attempt to prevent Americans from learning about secret presidential orders that would make the National Security Agency wiretapping look like kids' stuff. 7 years later, Ed Snowden revealed federal surveillance crime sprees worse than anyone suspected, obliterating the credibility of the U.S. government. And in response, Mike Rogers, a Republican, publicly joked about putting Snowden on a government kill list, which Trump's attorney general and former CIA guy, Bill Barr, actually did with Julian Assange, along with Mike Pompeo. I appeared briefly on Fox's Hannity and Combs that day, and he said, with all the stuff that happened to him, he's been at the epicenter of this. Unfortunately, Trump is continuing a long presidential tradition of saber-rattling against free speech. But happily, the 1971 Supreme Court decision around the Pentagon Papers put up a pretty good barrier against that type of thing. They wrote, the First Amendment protected the media because, quote, only a free and unrestricted press can effectively expose deception in government. The government's power to censor the press was abolished so that the press would remain forever free to censure the government. So we're either going to have censorship by the press, or we're going to have the press able to censure the government. That's what the First Amendment is about as far as freedom of press goes. But it goes much deeper than that. If you're going to have a psychological war, an information war, a mind war against the people, that begins with free speech. That's why the first casualty of war is always the truth. To get you to accept what is not true. To get you to follow them blindly, and to get you to kill who they wish to kill. That's what we're going to be seeing a lot this next year. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of wars. Not just this year, we've had wars and rumors of wars. I think we're going to have more wars and rumors next year, I think. That's my take on it. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back, but let's take a look at some of the comments here, Travis.
That's right. We've got Marky Mark in New Jersey, and thank you, Marky Mark. Appreciate the support. Says, Dave, there's a West Palm Beach. It's named so because it's a separate town adjacent to and west of Palm Beach proper. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a nice town. It's not quite as nice as Palm Beach proper.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it does deserve its West title, even if only...
Yeah, I've been there. I've got some relatives down there. Karen does. But you know, the thing is, I lived in Tampa. That was the actual west coast of Florida, so we... Just always look at that and shake my head and laugh. But, yeah, I get it. I know.
Hathcar 61 says there are mass protests in Iran against the regime there, so why do they want to attack Iran?
Yeah, it's because Netanyahu wants to attack Iran. And we do whatever Netanyahu wants to do. That's the bottom line.
He's calling the shots.
Yeah,
Wally
right.
Walrus says my dictator is better than your dictator. Well, I'm... That's good. I'm glad you've got the best dictator. The
yeah.
greatest.
We got the Ayatollah Donald Trump. Yeah.
Hathcar 61 says, what's happening in Minnesota with this fraud is also happening here in Maine.
It's happening everywhere. It is a microcosm of fraud as well as bipartisan apathy about the fraud and apathy about the immigration stuff. It is the epicenter of what they ought to be focused on, but they're not. As I said for the longest time, that the real issue with immigration is not that you go out and round up people who are building houses and mowing lawns, okay? They're actually working. The real issue is this kind of stuff. This is the very thing that they need to go after. Criminal, organized crime, from foreign terrorist organizations. But they don't. Instead, what do? They go after the other stuff because they want conflict. They don't want consensus.
I'm Marty, says the antidote to the chaos, prepare as best as you can, then leave it up to God.
That's right.
Emotionally detach and disengage with a good helping of gallows humor and ridicule. I'm no expert, just doing what I can.
That's right.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
As a matter of fact, before we take a break, do this next one here, Mr. Magaga.
Mr. McMaga says, thinking about opening a daycare, how many kids will fit in a P.O. box?
Yeah, an infinite number is like how many angels will fit on the head of a pin. I like that. Mr. McMaga, it's like Mr. Magoo, right? And, of course, the MAGA people do suffer from nearsightedness, don't they? They can't see what's ahead. They can't see what's coming. They can't see the trends that are being set in place here. Well, this is actually from Carl Truman, and it's exactly what I, Marty, was saying. Relief from a world in flux. Said, Christmas is a time to focus our minds on things that do not change. He said, I was never a particular fan of the liturgical calendar. There's deep suspicion of establishment church life left me suspicious that observing the seasons of the year in religious terms smacked of a half-hearted commitment to the Bible at the least. But as I've grown older, while perhaps no wiser in general, I have warmed to the calendar, liturgical calendar, especially to Advent. Always a lover of Christmas as a family festival, I've come to appreciate it as an important religious time, too. Perhaps the most important benefit it brings is an opportunity to correct the focus of our minds and draw them to those things that are above and away from the matters of this earth, matters that are truly important, but whose significance must always be relativized by placing them in the greater context of eternity. He said, particularly at the current moment when so much seems to be in flux and a sense of social acceleration leaves so many with a sense of vertigo, it is vital to refocus on those things that do not change, of which the incarnation of Christ is surely the supreme and decisive example. Again, what is your frame of reference? You know, when everything starts moving really quickly, you know, you can't tell. Am I moving or am I standing still? Or is, you know, is it, are they the ones moving or am I accelerating? Well, everything is accelerating. And if you're going to have a situation of moral relativity, then you really don't know what is moving. You don't know if you're moving. You don't know if you're standing still and the other people are moving. And so you need to have that frame of reference, and you need to have that perspective. And that's why I try to bring this back to Christ, because all the rest of this stuff is just passing away. And it is passing by us at an ever-increasing rate. It is accelerating by design, as I just pointed out. The design is to increase this. The design is to have so much acceleration, so much change thrown at you so quickly that you're just trying to juggle plates. And you don't really understand what is the true perspective here. So he says, so there's no more profound expression of the church's teachings about Christ than those we find in Christmas carols, for example. And I think that's very important. It's very important what we sing, from a personal standpoint, as well as corporate worship, I think. You know, we're told to worship God in spirit and in truth. The music is the spirit part. The lyrics should be the truth. They should be biblical lyrics. Shouldn't be, you know, my personal experience. This is what I'm going through, and here's my personal experience type of thing, which is what we're going through. We're seeing more and more from the pop music that's out there. So I started writing my own, and, because I found nothing. I found No Truth, and I didn't like the music either. So I went back to, let me get some classic songs that have endured for centuries, melodies that have endured for centuries. You know, we think of certain things like Greensleeves, for example. And there are others like that. They're very catchy tunes that have persisted and are still around after many, many centuries. So if you wed the eternal biblical truth to great melodies that have been around for centuries, that's a very powerful thing, very powerful personally as well as corporately. So is thus the timing of Christmas in the Northern Hemisphere, the physically darkest time of the year, brings out in sharp relief the idea of light bursting into darkness, and the darkness signally failing to overcome it. And so he says, these are strange times for Christians. The temptation to prioritize earthly things is acute at the moment, this moment in history, where so much on this earth seems to be at stake. But compared to the eternal weight of glory that is to come, these things are light, momentary ephemera. Indeed, they are such in comparison to the glory that has already come in Christ. Christmas offers an opportunity to refocus on what really counts, the things that are above, the humble nature. Circumstances of the incarnation. We should not neglect it.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Oh, APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, welcome back. And we've got an announcement. The family wanted me to make this announcement yesterday, but I didn't do it. We do have it up on the website saying that beginning next year, just a few days from now, we're going to have new show hours. The live show will begin at 10 a.m., and we will be doing 2 o'clock hours of show. Actually, this is kind of what I did for the first 3 years. I had a three-hour show when I was at InfoWars, but it was actually 2 hours worth of content and 1 hour of infomercials. So we were on a clock, and we would go like about typically about 10 minutes, and then have a five-minute infomercials that we would do. And so we went when we got to the podcast, I thought it was an improvement to be able to just run through on a particular topic. I don't really pay any attention to the clock or the time, as you've noticed. Sometimes I run out before we get to the end of the show, the things that I want to say. But this is kind of an intervention, as the liberals would call it. It's kind of an intervention on me by the family to go to this. They worked out this schedule for us. But I think it will free us up to do some things that are longer perspective and some special reports. It's what I'm hoping will happen. So not necessarily looking to do things less, but to do maybe things that are more focused and special reports and things like that I haven't had time to do. And I really would like to get back to doing that. But in terms of the content, it's going to be the same amount of content that I had in a three-hour show when I was working on a radio clock at InfoWars, because that's the way things are set up. And I could have done that from the beginning. I had several people who had been carrying the show on their sites who wanted me to go to a radio clock so they could put it on the radio. And I chose not to do that. I wanted to stay on the freer format of the podcast, and so I imagine that window is closed by now anyway. But I think it's important to be able to stick on a topic as long as it takes to cover it. A lot of this is for health reasons as well. But I think it will give us a chance to maybe step back a little bit and do some longer perspective things. But we will have the broadcast pretty much. What are you doing, Travis? You're running this thing as a repeat after the show.
Yeah, after the show ends, I restart the broadcast so it plays out again.
Yeah, and so we stop it before the new show starts, but it pretty much continues going on, and you know, people will get a couple hundred people throughout the day coming in, and they can interact with each other as a kind of a meeting place. That'll still be there.
I need to work up a graphic that lets people know when we're actually live. I just haven't had the time to do it.
But we will actually go live at 10 o'clock on Monday through Friday. Still have that there.
So. And like you said, hopefully this gives us time to do more produced content.
Yeah.
Because with the way the show is, it just runs into itself over and over again.
Yeah. As soon as I get finished with the show, I start reading news for the next day. And so we need to get a little bit of a, you know, the family's right. We need to get a little bit of a perspective and pull back on that a little bit. It's kind of obsessive.
Yeah. I get done with the show. I get to put the kiddo down for a nap. Then it's to work. Then he's awake. Then it's back to work.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had, I think here it is right here. This was, if I can get this. Can you see that? You know what that's reference to? Sisyphus, right? That's like our daily schedule here. As soon as the rock is rolled up the hill, it rolls back down again. And it goes on eternally. That was the Greek legend that was there. And so we're going to try to get a little bit away from the Sisyphus routine here and be able to do some different things. And hopefully you'll like what we do. I've got some music, as I was referencing there, that I'd like to get finished. Karen came in and said, why didn't you play in the beginning? And it's like, well, it's like 7 minutes long. So I chose not to play that. But that's the kind of thing that I've been talking about. Let's talk about what's going on in Minnesota. That's what everybody is talking about. That is the focus of the news cycle right now, as well as calls for Waltz to resign. And he's got a reelection campaign coming up. If I was really cynical, as I really am, I would say that a lot of this has to do with that. Although I think in reality, You know, there's been report after report after report of this stuff for a very long time. Everybody's known about it. I've talked about it a long time ago. But it was really the viral thing by this guy who went around with, and I forget what his name is. I don't want to diss him here, but he went around and trying to look for his name here. Do you remember his name, Travis? It's a young guy, his social media account, and got millions of views, probably tens or hundreds of millions of views of this stuff. And, you know, having somebody going around live like that, that's one of the powerful things of 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace, when he'd have the personal confrontations with people about the fraud and everything. And that really brought it to everybody's attention. And I don't think it is purely cynical about that, but it has a lot with this election coming up. That's a big part of it. Republican lawmakers on state and federal level have called on Waltz, who was Lala Harris's running mate. Boy, dodged a bullet with that one, didn't we? Not that the other bullet is any better. I mean, it's just pick your poison. Waltz has defended himself that he's worked for years to crack down on fraud. Well, let's think about that. If that's true, wouldn't that be all the more reason to get rid of him? If you worked on this for years, this massive fraud case, and you couldn't get anything done, maybe it's time for you to leave. I mean, this is a no-win situation for him. He can either say, I had no idea it was happening. Okay, it's time for you to leave. I worked on it all this time, and I couldn't get anything done. Okay, it's time for you to leave. Or he was fully on board with it, which is what a lot of people are saying, which is time for you to leave and relocate to the jail. Prosecutors have alleged that this is going to be billions of dollars. As a matter of fact, it's like $18 billion that Minnesota is consuming in welfare payments for food as well as child care. And half of that at least, they think, is fraud. Like I said, this is a microcosm of what is going on in America. It's why we got a $40 trillion budget deficit. Probably half of that is fraud. The other half is unconstitutional. Shouldn't be doing it in the first place. The two-term governor is running for re-election 26, but calls for his resignation could derail his campaign. You think? I don't think there's any way he gets out of this. Unless there's going to be massive voter fraud. I think this is something that has really angered people. The X account, Minnesota DHS, Department of Human Services, which says that it represents 480 staff members at the Department of Human Services, said, Tim Waltz is 100% responsible for massive fraud in Minnesota. In December, the Justice Department announced new charges against the 78th defendant, alleged to be involved in a nonprofit called Feeding Our Future. Prosecutors said the organization stole more than $250 million from Child Nutrition Program, leading to more than 50 convictions. According to a New York Times report, some of the fraud cases were linked to parts of Minnesota's Somali community. Parts of it. Yeah. Republican Representative Tom Emmer of Minnesota, who is the House Majority Whip in the U.S. House, said of Waltz on Fox News, he should resign. He's a total embarrassment. We've been trying to sound the alarm on this for the past 3 years. Has he? I'm going to tell you what this guy's been doing. And remember, this is the number three guy in Republican leadership in the House. That's what the whip is. And what is the duty of the whip? Why do they call him the whip? Because he whips people in line. His job is to go around, and when the leadership has something they want done, his job is to go around and whip people into shape and get them on board with that agenda and to give them reason. So he's there for persuasion, for organization around an agenda, but he couldn't be bothered with all of this stuff, right? We'll talk about what happened with Emmer quite some time ago. Minnesota's acting U.S. attorney has said $9 billion or more in federal funds may have been stolen since 2018. Who was president in 2018? Trump, was it? And of course, a lot of this stuff also goes back, and this is Ilhan Omar's alibi, as she's trying to deflect away from her. By the way, her fortunes have, she's had a very good year. I mean, she.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He's kind of tapped into the Nancy Pelosi vibe of making wonderful investments somehow. She and her husband's fortunes have skyrocketed by many millions of dollars. They've gone straight up like a Musk rocket.
One thing I wanted to point out is that when you talk about, you know, illegals committing fraud, generally, the liberal response is, well, you know, they're not the real problem. It's these billionaires that are hoarding all this wealth and they're not paying their taxes. They're who are really, you know, causing the problems. It's like, well, now we're up to billions of dollars of fraud. Billions. The same number right. You've had an issue with before. Yeah. So now that we're at billions, can we admit that these illegals and these refugees, quote unquote, are a problem, that they are harming the system, that they are making life worse for the average American?
That's right.
Now that they're soaking billions from the government?
And the reports are being done on this for a very, very long time. You know, like I said, back in 2018 was when this stuff started. I was doing reports about this. We were talking about how it was a little Mogadishu there. Here's a report that was done locally quite some time ago.
Agencies closed Baraka Child Care Center yesterday morning. Well, investigators executed a search warrant. It's one of 10 being investigated for financial misconduct of the state's child care
assistance. This, I believe, was around 2018.
Jennifer Merrily shares where that money would have gone instead.
Nearly 2,400 kids are on the waiting list for Minnesota's child care assistance program. It helps low-income families pay for child care. Daycares are given money per child. But right now, state agencies are investigating financial fraud at 10 different centers, including Baraka Child Care Center in Minneapolis.
So where there's been these totally fraudulent operators and stealing money. And so high time. And they should crack down on more.
As part of the investigation, the BCA and Secret Service spent hours at this home in Columbia Heights, combing through it and collecting evidence. A relative told WCCO,
they are good family, they work hard, you know, that's all.
The raid at Baraka focuses on fraudulent billing of the state assistance program. A child care provider investigations unit formed in 2014 to investigate similar cases has already closed 12 child care centers.
So the latest child care scam has been to have 100 people enrolled, 100 kids enrolled in your program, have 10 show up, bill for the 100.
That happened in several cases that resulted in a conviction. In one, the criminal complaint reveals investigators set up cameras to capture kids who entered and exited. Over a two-week period in 2014, the daycare billed for 950 children who did not attend the center, resulting in $51,000 of fraud just for that time period.
There are people who have severe needs that we can't take care of because there's just not enough money, and yet money goes out the back.
Investigators haven't released any details about what was found in yesterday's raid. The Office of the Inspector General said it will continue to investigate fraud in the program, saying child care fraud is especially egregious because in addition to exploiting taxpayer money, it harms the families and children the program is intended to help.
That was a decade ago, and as you heard them saying, you know, back in 2014, and already, you know, we've got a dozen of them here. And it's just been going on and on and on, but it's not been on the radar of the Trump administration or of ICE or of the FBI. But now it is because of a social media report that went viral. FBI Director Kash Patel is now on it because the only thing that he investigates is social media. He's going to dismantle the large-scale fraud schemes that are exploiting federal programs, he said. Well, the Minnesota Fraud Committee chair claims that Waltz turned a blind eye to fraud warnings for years. Yes. Kristen Robbins chairs the state's Fraud Prevention Committee and says the governor ignored whistleblowers for years. And he is ultimately the one who is responsible. Just like Trump is ultimately the one responsible for the fraud that happened with the pandemic nonsense. And I've interviewed I can't remember the guy's name now, but he was also involved in investigating the election fraud. And he said these people.
Big Brit is back again in chat, says he's called Nick Shirley, the guy reporting.
Nick Shirley is
stuff.
The one who did. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Nick Shirley. Shirley. Don't call me Shirley. Leslie Nielsen, yeah. anyway, the. If you go back to this stuff, it's been going on a very long time. And who knew there was going to be COVID fraud, right? Well, it was very obvious from the very beginning that there was going to be fraud. As the individual I talked to, who that was his specialty, said they contacted me and said, this is horrific, you know, what's going to happen? And they said, well, we haven't had any fraud yet. And he goes, this is wide open. He says, you don't have any fraud yet because you haven't started paying anybody any money, but it's just an invitation to theft. And it was, not just in Minnesota, but in many other places. That started with Trump. And with all this stuff that's going on, people have conveniently forgotten that the fraud of the stimulus programs and the other programs, the CARES Act and all the rest of the stuff they put together to prepare us for universal basic income, that welfare program, that psychological warfare as well as welfare program, that was riddled with fraud, I would say by design, from the very beginning. And the Trump administration did nothing about that. So while Waltz and his office have touted his work to address these scandals, state lawmakers argue that he has had years to do so and that he has deliberately ignored whistleblowers. So again, the number right now that everybody seems to be sticking to is $9 billion. These whistleblowers have been sounding the alarm for years, she said. We've had hearings for almost a year now, holding his agencies accountable. He's not fired anyone. He's not taken steps to stop the fraud on the front end, and he continues to make excuses. So I would absolutely want him to resign, as I said weeks ago. Or I know others are looking at articles of impeachment. But he is responsible. He turned a blind eye for 7 years, and we need a clean house in the executive branch, she said. And again, if you go back to 2015, what you saw there were some raids that were being done. In 2015, that center that we talked about, we laughed about, the Learning Center, where they supposed to be the Learning Center, but their sign doesn't, they can't even spell learning. How's that for irony? So the Learning Center that they spelled as Learning Center, it was the FBI shut that down in 2015. But there was no penalty. Nobody was really punished with it. So what happened was the same people went out and changed the name. They got a new sign that said Learning Center and kept doing what they were doing before. So this is fraud, definitely the state level, but it is federal money that is being stolen as well. And the FBI and the Trump administration, many others, did absolutely nothing with all this stuff that was happening at the time. They did nothing about it. And I remember covering stories about how these people were, you know, there was this whole network of Somalis and how they had It was very structured in how they were running cash at the airport and all the rest of the stuff. This was known a decade ago. I reported on it a decade ago. Nobody cared to do anything about it. Payments are still being sent out, as a matter of fact, said Robbins. She said she was shocked to see that the Walsh government has not even stopped paying, even though this thing is so riddled with fraud. She faced criticism from Democrats for talking about it, taking this information about the fraud to the U.S. Attorney's Office. They said, you should have taken this to the state authorities, but they weren't doing anything. She's one of multiple lawmakers who claimed that the local state government has retaliated against whistleblowers. Don't take this to the feds. Bring it to us. But you're not doing anything. Walz's office also shared a link to Minnesota governor candidate Scott Jensen, who argued in a post that Robbins' fraud committee has not advanced one substantive bill to prevent fraud, and according to several members of the community, its main focus has been political grandstanding. Remember, Scott Jensen ran for governor. He was a physician who pushed back against a lot of the lockdown stuff that happened. And as a Republican who was running, he criticized her fraud committee, said, sounds like they're doing exactly what the Republicans do in Congress. They grandstand with committee things, but they don't do anything. They just have these committees for getting media attention and grandstanding, but nothing is ever done by them either. This is why I say it is a microcosm of the bipartisan do-nothing fraud that is allowed at every level in our government now. So Tom Emmer is now calling for the deportation of every Somali engaged in fraud in Minnesota. Well, I would support that. Why wouldn't you deport them if they are committing crimes like that? It's one of the things when you look at ICE bragging about, well, look at these people, how many that we've got here that had been convicted or charged with a crime or whatever, and they're out on the street. That just shows how broken our system is. That they get charged, they come here illegally, they commit crimes, they release them again, and deport these people, absolutely.
House deportation should be the moderate stance. That should be where you start.
Yeah, that's right.
That shouldn't even be considered. That should just be the standard.
When you look at, because I mean, it's probably changed now, but in Switzerland, it used to be the kind of situation where you'd have to live there for 10 years. And, of course, you had to be able to support yourself, too, right? So you had to live there for 10 years and not get in trouble. As a matter of fact, it wasn't enough just not to get in trouble. You had to be liked. You had to be a good citizen in the community. You had to have letters of reference, if you wanted to become a Swiss citizen, of people who liked you and said you were a positive influence and that type of thing. It wasn't enough just to keep your nose clean. And then you could apply for citizenship after 10 years and a lot of personal references from people who lived there. When you look at Tom Emmer, he said even naturalized citizens should have their citizenship revoked so they can be deported. He added that he's willing to pass legislation to make such a move legal. I have three words regarding Somalis who have committed fraud against American taxpayers. Send them home. If they're here illegally, deport them immediately. If they're naturalized citizens, revoke their citizenship and deport them quickly thereafter. If we need to change the law to do that, I will. Our nation will not tolerate those who take advantage of our charity and who refuse to assimilate into our culture. Well, I agree with that. Why is he waiting till now to say this, though? He's in Minnesota. He's known about this for the longest time. He has really changed his tune.
I also want to say, this is just a natural outgrowth of this culture.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Many non-Western cultures have this idea that someone is going to get rich by cheating the system. Someone is going to cheat and win, so it might as well be you. Because everyone else is already doing it.
Yeah.
You have to cheat to even the playing field.
Yeah.
That's and right. When you import these cultures, they are simply going to engage in that behavior wherever they are.
I agree.
You cannot, you can import a small number of people, that you pick and choose carefully, and they will gradually integrate over years as they intermix with the population. But if you bring in enough of them, they never have to integrate. They have their own personal in-group already here.
And I've seen that type of attitude in big cities as well. Got to get them before they get us. I've seen that from people that I've known who lived and grew up in New York or Chicago or other places like that in a big city. It's like, this is the way we do it in a big city. You got to get these other guys before they get you. Coming after them in fraud or whatever. And once it gets ingrained in an area, it's very hard to get it out of the culture. So is this a Somali issue? Well, so far, 98 people have been charged in connection with the fraud, including 85 individuals who have Somali ancestry. So the people that they've charged, 85 out of 98 are Somali. That's 87%, by the way. A preliminary assessment suggests that more than half of the $18 billion that is spent on programs like this has been stolen. Some Minnesota officials have expressed concern that we have narrow targeting of the Somali community. Well, if they are 87% of the problem, how is that narrow targeting? I'd say the targeting's not narrow enough. but they want to give people a pass because they're Somali immigrants.
I would personally bet there are most likely Democrats that are helping them do this. There are Democrats that are getting kickbacks and part of this money to help them navigate the system and set these things up for them. Because you don't get off the boat from Somalia and know how to infiltrate the inner workings of these political systems. Someone is helping them do it.
And it's the same type of thing we saw the Bidens in Ukraine, right? Or with the Trumps with Israel. You send massive amounts of money to a foreign corrupt government, and guess what? You're going to get some kickbacks on that kind of stuff. So it's a mutually beneficial thing. You scratch my back, I scratch yours, right? And so you help them to get massive amounts of money stolen from American taxpayers, whether it's going to the Somalis or the Israelis or the Ukrainians. And there's going to be a kickback to you with all that stuff. But then there's other motivations, Travis. This Tom Emmer, who's now such a hardcore person, we're going to have to get these people. If they're involved in fraud, even if they're naturalized, we revoke that citizenship and we send them back to where they came from. You really think he's going to do that? Let's look at what this guy has been doing. This is a Daily Caller investigation. Minnesotans had begged Tom Emmer to stop the Somalis over a decade ago. He told them it wasn't possible. As a matter of fact, he was very combative with the people. As a matter of fact, he even kind of called them racist. He took the line of the Democrats. As a matter of fact, he worked with Democrats to set up a Somali caucus. Why would he do that? I don't know that he was necessarily taking a kickback, but it was politically expedient for him to do this. He would have paid a political price if he would have talked to the Somalis. Now he's going to pay a political price if he doesn't talk about the Somalis. It's all about his political calculation. It's all about Tom Emmer. It's not about the U.S. taxpayer. It's not about fraud or anything else. It's about his political career. That's how we get the kind of Congress that we have. That's how you get this kind of fraud. because these people are looking only at their self-interest. Minnesotans had begged House Majority Whip, the number three guy in the GOP leadership, Tom Emmer, more than a decade ago to halt the flood of Somali refugees to the area. But he scolded them for their concerns. Minnesota's Somali population is back in the spotlight after YouTuber Nick Shirley, there we go, I knew I had it in here somewhere, posted a video canvassing multiple Somali-run child care centers accused of fraud. However, a resurfaced audio clip from This American Life, and of course, that is an NPR program, showed that voters were concerned about mass Somali migration long before the recent controversy. In an episode that aired in October of 2016, journalist Zoe Chase narrated portions of the story, including a reflection on a July 2015 town hall event. So this is Tom Emmer in 2015. This is in St. Cloud. Describing the room as packed, Chase said one constituent told Emmer that he believed most people in the bar, quote, are here to find out how you feel about the assimilation of immigrants. And then she played a clip from the event. This guy says to Tom Emmer, we didn't ask for those Somalis. Nobody asked us if we in St. Cloud wanted those Somalis. And we understand that social groups like the Lutheran Social Service and the Catholic Charities are dumping them in areas like St. Cloud. Okay, and so the question is, how many more are coming? We didn't ask for these people. Every day that you read about is talking about this. So that is the main issue today, said the man. There is no control. The people have no control over any immigration. The mayor doesn't, and I don't know who does. And so they pointed out in this report that the 2024 census said about 107,000 Somalis live in Minnesota, 58% of them born in the U.S., 87% naturalized U.S. citizens. So these would be the people who are legally here, and of course there's probably many others who are not here legally. Minneapolis has the state's largest Somali population with about 84,000 residents of Somali descent. And that's why they call it Little Mogadishu.
It's also important to note that if they're willing to steal this much money, they're more than willing to find ways around the immigration system.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Especially if there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow.
And again, once you have a large base of any group, they will be willing to help more of their own subvert the system and
that's
bring
right.
them in.
That's right, yeah. They're coming here, they're poor, and it's like, let me tell you how to get rich, okay? We got this great scam. These Americans don't know what they're doing. They don't care. You know, the people in the federal government don't care about the money. I mean, they just print this stuff up. They don't care. It's just asking for the taking. It's right there. Just take it. Come on. And so this guy is saying, we didn't ask for this. This is forced upon us. This was dumped on us. What are you going to do about this? Here's Tom Emmer's response 10 years ago, Mr. Strong Borders, and we're going to send them all back today is what he's saying. This is what the guy said 10 years ago. In the recorded town hall, Emmer pushes back on that man, with Chase, described the NPR reporter, describing the lawmaker as firing, quote, a warning shot at the implicit racism. This is always the case. You criticize the money that's being sent to this other group. You're racist, right? You're racist. That happens with the charges of anti-Semitism. If you don't want to see Israel getting massive amounts of money, all the rest of this stuff, it's racism. Emmer argues that Somalis are one of, quote, the fastest assimilating populations. Well, they certainly did assimilate into our form of government, didn't they? The kleptocracy. They understand our form of government, I think, better than Americans do. They understand that it is a thieving cesspool. They assimilated that. So he's changed his tune now, hasn't he? About he's now an immigration hawk. But the man responded that it said, well, they assimilate. They're one of the fastest assimilating groups. And the man says, oh, you got to be kidding me. Wasn't buying it. At the time of the event, Chase noted, the NPR reporter Chase, noted that a Somali man was in the room with other constituents. He eventually tried to speak for himself, telling the group in thickly accented English that he felt assimilated. He's part of the Borg here. He's now a good thief like the Democrats. He's assimilated into the Democrat Party. It's all about theft. The audience continued pressing Emmer to demand a vote on the refugees. One constituent, identified as Sue, pushed back as Emmer repeatedly asked what she wanted him to do, telling the lawmaker that there had been a huge economic burden placed on them at the time because of this influx. Sue said, "I think I speak for a lot of people. I think the city of St. Cloud needs a breather. We need to assimilate with the people that are," it starts to say already here, and Emmer cut her off. He says, "So should Minnesota impose a pause on Somali immigration to address community concerns?" And he says, "What does that mean? What does that mean? I don't know what that means." So he didn't want a pause on Somalis coming in, but now he's ready to throw these people back to Somali. What a fraud this guy is. Double talking fraud. He is the poster child of the GOP. This is a guy who is so successful with his peers that he's the number three guy. You got people like Mike Johnson who are even worse. He's the number one guy. Going back and forth, Emmer asks Sue point blank if she's suggesting that, quote, no more immigrants should be allowed to come to St. Cloud, to which she says, well, I think there ought to be a moratorium for a short time. Well, that's where Emmer is saying he is now. I don't buy any of it.
I don't understand how that's even a controversial opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be a controversial opinion if America were to say, no, no more immigrants ever. Sorry,
yeah, well,
we're full.
That's because you're racist. Additional people in the background could be heard shouting that the pause should be for the entire United States. You're a congressman. You're the number three guy there. Do it for the entire United States. And then Emmer jumped in to state the request was simply not possible. All right, here's the thing. All I can do is respond as openly and honestly as I can, Sue. That's not something that I can do. He's the whip. That's what his job is. His job is to build consensus. His job is to organize these guys together for an agenda. It's just that he doesn't like that agenda of America first. He says, that's not something that our Constitution says that we can do with people who are, and then they cut him off. So now he says even naturalized citizens should be deported. This guy is desperate, and he's as guilty as Tim Walz is, in my opinion. And so the Daily Caller reached out to him, and he responded with the comment. He called out the failed immigration policies over the years, and he says he's now proud to stand with the Trump fraud administration and hold these people accountable. Because Trump didn't do anything his first 4 years. Emmer hasn't done anything for a decade with any of this stuff. But now he says, I'm proud to partner with Trump and Cash Patel, the FBI. And we're going to hold these people accountable. We'll see. What Walz refused to address for 7 years, he said, Nick Shirley uncovered in one day. And, of course, Emmer and Trump failed to address it as well for 7 years, actually for 10 years. Days prior to the town hall that we just talked about where Emmer was there, Emmer had joined with the Democrats. He had joined with, of all people, Keith Ellison, the Democrat congressman, who, remember when he said, I want to be sworn in on the Quran, not the Bible? That's the guy that Tom Emmer partnered with to create the Congressional Somalia Caucus. He's a traitor. He wants to help these people take over the federal government even. The two of them released a joint statement in June of 2015, touting that for them, they said, the quote, the constituents quote, that we represent, Somalia is not a far-off foreign policy issue. It is a matter of domestic policy and national security. We are committed to advocating on behalf of all of our constituents while ensuring that Somalia has the tools it needs to create strong democratic institutions. He put that in there with a small d, but what we're talking about is a big D, right? That provides safety and economic opportunity to its people. The bar where Emmer spoke in 2015, it gets even better. The bar where he spoke in 2015, shutting down voters' concerns about being flooded with Somalians and how corrupt this was. That was a restaurant at the time. Guess what it is today? A daycare center. So when we get enough Somalians in, we'll just shut down all the businesses. We'll set up fraudulent daycare centers and fraudulent food relief pantry things. And we can all just collect a federal check. That's what they would like to have. Universal basic welfare.
And this kind of fraud happens in every program. Mm-hmm. In Canada, they're having a huge issue with not being able to provide enough meals for, you know, their own poor college students,
That's right.
Who are legitimately, you know, below the poverty line. They cannot afford food because they've imported so many Indians, and they see this as just a free meal ticket.
That's right.
I could afford it, but if they're going to give me free food, I'll just take it.
Yeah, it's not that we're cold-hearted. We just understand that the federal government doesn't do anything right, and whatever it does, it is rife with waste, fraud, and abuse, and graft, and corruption.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And so, you know, I've been through this whole thing before. This is the reason why America worked when Alexis de Tocqueville came here. He said, in socialist France, we will set up a program, and it'll, you know, go the way that we now see happening in America. But he goes, in America, back at that time, the early 1800s when he was coming here, he said, Americans see a problem, they set up a voluntary organization, and they take care of it locally. And when you do that, if you've got an association, or if you've got it running through a church or something like that, because as Christians we should understand that we should have a heart to help the poor. That's not what the Lutheran and Catholic charities are doing. They're feeding at the trough of a major bureaucracy, and they're dumping people onto the government payrolls, welfare rolls, rather than helping them personally themselves. If the churches or if other institutions are doing it at a local level, they can see who needs it and who doesn't need it. And that's important. You want to be able to get the help to the people who really do need it. And there are people who really do need help, always in a society. Jesus said, you'll have the poor with you always. Then he tells us to help the poor. So you'll always have that. The question is, are you going to kick this off and say, well, I gave at the office. I gave with the taxes that I paid to the federal government. And then they're going to waste it, and you're going to have people who don't deserve it, and the people who do deserve it, some of them, are not going to get help. That's what's so broken about this system. So as this thing grows, the restaurant that they had 10 years ago they ate at has now been taken over by a Somali, Ahmed Ishmael, and he's now set up a daycare center. He calls it Mother's Love Child Care Center. And it's got the magic number of 100 kids. If any of them show up, it's probably 10 of them will show up to the center. And that's why, that's why I don't vote anymore, because you look at the Republicans, look at Tom Emmer. He's not going to do anything except hold grandstanding hearings, just like Robbins did. You know, Scott Jensen was right. They just grandstand. They do nothing about it. And they lock in the corruption. They lock in the precedents of the Democrats. Meanwhile, Ilhan Omar, which is where her power base is. And remember, Tom Emmer helped to set up the Congressional Somali Caucus. Ilhan Omar is facing an investigation. People have noticed that she has had a massive wealth gain, and she's not investing in gold or silver. She's made more money than you could make in gold or silver or Bitcoin in its best years. A conservative watchdog is scrutinizing Ilhan Omar's finances as outrage mounts over the massive fraud scandal engulfing Minnesota and questions about her rapid wealth gains. The revelation comes a day after the Post reported that her husband's venture capital firm quietly scrubbed key officer details online amid questions about her sudden surge in wealth. So he has a venture capital firm, and her net worth mysteriously shot up to $30 million, which is roughly a 3,500% increase relative to 2023. Isn't that amazing? So she may be an even better investor than Nancy Pelosi. The gains largely came from her husband, his venture capital management firm that is headquartered in Washington, D.C. It's called Rose Lake Capital. Its value jumped from nearly zero in 2023 to between $5 million and $25 million in just a year. The firm bragged about its officers managing some $60 billion and, quote, previous assets, unquote. Recently, the names and the bios of Rose Lakes Capital's nine officers were removed from LinkedIn. Don't want you to see who these guys are. His winery business is, he's got the venture capital firm that he created and instantly went from zero to hero. From zero to $30 million. His winery business has faced fraud allegations previously, and it saw its estimated value explode between $1 and $5 million in 2024, according to her financial disclosures. Omar has said that the real issue is the COVID-19 pandemic and the lack of guardrails for this scandal. Well, she'll tell you the truth, but that's a deflection away from her personal finances that are there. So she said, I just think a lot of the COVID programs were set up so quickly that there weren't guardrails created. Well, that actually is true. That may work for her to some degree, but the reality is that she's feeding at the trough and trading influence, obviously. Trump administration says that it's now going to freeze child care funds to Minnesota after a series of fraud schemes. Finally, they cut off the tap. Isn't that amazing? All payments through the Administration for Children and Families, an agency within the U.S. HHS Department, will require justification and a receipt or photo evidence before money is sent. This is kind of like saying, well, after we've killed millions of people with a Trump shot, now we're going to do some tests about safety and efficacy. They've also launched a fraud reporting hotline and an email address. Wouldn't it have been nice if they would have done this 10 years ago? No. The announcement comes after years of investigation that began with a $300 million scheme at the nonprofit Feeding Our Future, for which 57 defendants in Minnesota have now been convicted. Well, it just keeps going around and around. Do you think anything is really going to happen with this? We'll see. Let's look at the comments before we take a break, Travis.
Yeah, we've got a lot. Original Babe says, I reported Medicaid fraud in 2022, Charlotte, North Carolina. It was being billed for home health and they never came. They were Nigerians. All they get is fined, no arrests.
Were they princes? It was a Nigerian prince who was giving you the home health care? I'm sorry, go ahead.
They said, no arrests or closing down the fake businesses. The Nigerians offered me $300 a month to help me. I said no, reported them for Medicaid fraud. They will pay people cash to use their Medicaid, wow. Etc. Wow. They charged my Medicaid for 2 months when they came one time.
Wow.
There's scams everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's just ripe for the taking. You know, when you look at these measures that are now being announced by the Trump administration, isn't that something you would have expected they would have done in the beginning? Some kind of a verification? No, they just, all you do is ask them for the money, they just hand it out. And then they come around later if somebody reports it as fraudulent.
Owen61, thank you very much for the support. That is very generous.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He says, Happy New Year, David and family. Hey, that's me.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. Yes. I appreciate it.
Lord Patriot, thank you as well. Says, yes. What government entity in America has the credibility to investigate anything? That's a fair point.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is the point of all these people is to, actually they don't need any help, that they get from Trump to destroy people's confidence in these institutions. We can all see and have been able to see for a long time just how corrupt they are, but that's a hallmark of the fourth turning that we're in.
Yeah. Peasants Podcast says mass immigration did not enhance the Cherokee Nation, for it led to our attempted expulsion from the Smokies via the Trail of Tears, but many of us kept our guns in Cherokee NC and Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Yeah, good for you, yeah. Yeah, that was a massive deportation, wasn't it? Yeah, I always talk about that because, you know, it was such a bad policy by Andrew Jackson, and yet nobody could stop him. I said that in the context of stopping abortion. You know, if you
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Understand where the lines are. You can do things, sometimes bad things, but you have the authority to do that. It's kind of like what's going on with that Tina Peters, I think, is the woman that I talked about there. You know, what they're doing to her is wrong, but they have the authority to do that. And so, yeah. Scenarios. So they've made their decision. Let's see them stop me.
Scenarios like this, I always think of Starship Troopers. You know, violence is the supreme authority from which all other authority is derived.
Yeah.
When the government has a monopoly on violence, they have a monopoly on authority, and they can
do as
they wish.
That's right.
Pedal Junkie says, the first thing you will notice in a Somali community is the trash. My neighborhood is clean. Cross one street, and there is trash everywhere. Cleanliness, as we think of it today, is very much a Western thing. Keeping your cities and towns clean, that is a Western priority. You don't see that in India. It's something like 60% of the population still defecates outside, you know, wherever they are, you know. You're not going to get a high-quality population by importing these.
Well, that was still happening in China, even though China was rapidly getting westernized, even when we went there. What was it, 20 years or so ago? Yesterday was my daughter's birthday, so
yeah, it's
turned 24.
It's amazing. You would be in these cities, which are, you know, larger than New York City, much higher population, and then you drive 30 minutes outside of them, and they're living like it's the 1700s. They may have electricity, but they don't have running water. They're getting it from a river. They have an outhouse where the people use the restroom and they just let the pigs in to feed on it. Mm-hmm. And
I remember when we were there, you know, she had to use the bathroom and she couldn't understand why Karen was being so evil and wouldn't let her just use the bathroom down the street. And it's like, no, we're going to go somewhere else. But she really didn't understand, didn't speak English. And it's like, what's going on? You're not letting me use the bathroom here.
Thankfully, she figured that one out pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. She became a big fan of toilet paper. But well, let's go on. We got Jason Barker here. You want to read that?
Yes. Jason Barker says maybe we can use the army of IRS agents to audit all our politicians and their immediate families.
Well, actually, that's not going to happen. They're going to weaponize artificial intelligence against us. And they're going to go intensely into that. They're going to microscopically examine every aspect of our lives, but just like it is with surveillance. How dare you look at them? You're not allowed to look at me. I look at you. That's the way this is going to shake out.
Got some comments here that I'm reading. Will Tubox says Japan is clean and so is Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And I would point out that those are two nations, possibly the two Asian nations that have been most heavily influenced by the West. Mm-hmm. Japan after
Hong
World
Kong
War.
As well. Yeah. Hong Kong was a great city. Yeah. I liked that a lot.
Of course, again, Hong Kong had been ruled by the British. It was heavily, heavily influenced by them. Japan after World War II very rapidly started to adopt American ideas and culture. You know, we were kind of there with our boot on their neck, and they saw it as a way of ingratiating themselves to some extent.
And now we've adopted their Pearl Harbor techniques. We have days of infamy happening all the time with the Trump administration.
And, of course, Taiwan has partially been dependent upon the West for support against China. So they have westernized themselves to some extent as well. Because it's,
that's right.
You know, if they don't have Western support, if China thought that America and the West weren't going to do anything if they invaded, they would simply go over immediately.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. When we come back, I'm going to go through Doug Casey's top predictions for 2026. I always liked Doug's writing and had a lot of respect for what he did. And I think he nails a lot of this stuff really well. We'll be right back.
listening to The David Knight Show. Listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, welcome back. Let's take a look at Doug Casey's top predictions for 2026, what it means for you and your money. And, of course, you'll find him at internationalman.com. He says, what do you see? He was asked, what do you see as the single most important thing people should prepare for in 2026? And I think he nailed it. He begins by talking about Strauss and Howe, because that is the time that we are in. He said, Strauss and Howe asked that question in their book, The Fourth Turning. We're at a major turning point in the U.S., and not just the U.S., of course, but globally. Everybody is synchronized, unfortunately, on this thing, and it's going to make for a massive upheaval. I've felt for years, he said, the U.S. is headed towards something like a civil war. It could be as serious as the unpleasantness of the 1860s, but just different. The red people and the blue people in the U.S. really dislike each other. They can't even talk to each other. And when things get to that stage, things are typically solved by force, and I expect that's what's going to happen. Very likely during the next 3 years while Trump is still in office. He is the perfect catalyst for this, said Doug Casey. And I agree, I've said that many times. It's the first time I've seen him say that, but we see it the same way. As a matter of fact, you know, when Strauss and Howe wrote The Fourth Turning in the early 1990s, and again, I think it is such a tell that the establishment, excuse me, refuses to talk about the fourth turning as a thesis. They'll use all the labels like millennial and Gen X and Gen Z and all the rest of this stuff. They'll use all those labels that Strauss and Howe did. They'll talk about generations, but they won't talk about the context in which it all fits or what it means, because that was the central premise of it, that every four generations you have a major upheaval. And the people who are the ones who are fighting that upheaval, of course, they're going to have a very different life experience. The people who come, the generation after them, it's going to be a very different experience for them as well, but there is a repeating pattern. And it usually happens about every four generations. I look back on my family and my parents' generation and how they were shaped by the Depression that they went through and World War II that they went through. So it's that type of thing. And they went back 500 years in history. They said sometime in the mid-2000s, well, guess what, 2007, 2008, there'll be a global financial crisis. That'll begin the fourth turning, and it'll finish sometime around 2029 or something like that. Trump is the fourth turning candidate that they put in. They don't want to talk about the fourth turning, but they use that knowledge of these cycles to put in somebody like Trump, as Doug Casey says, the perfect catalyst for all this. It's going to be exacerbated by the long-term migration trends. If we look 100 years down the road, it's pretty clear that with modern travel and communications technology, the migration of people from poor countries to rich countries all around the world is going to accelerate. Eventually, the U.S. will not even exist in its present form. Of course, that's true of every country. The colors on the map of the wall have been running since day one. He says, for me, that's not going to be any fun. For another, I'm a huge fan of traditional America. It was a unique institution in world history, the only country ever founded on the concepts of free thought, free markets, and individualism. A civil war, regardless of what form it takes, will likely overturn those things. While I hope things mellow out, hope isn't the best foundation for making plans. So I said, so geopolitically, what do you see as tensions are building across Europe, Middle East, East Asia? Where do you expect the major flashpoints to emerge in 2026? He said, the politicians who run Europe are uniformly despicable non-entities, from Ursula von der Leyen, the she-wolf of the EU, on down. One proof of that statement is that I could be prosecuted. I could be prosecuted just for saying that in much of Europe. They are soulless bureaucrats who stand for nothing but statism and collectivism. They're driving Europe to actively rearm, doubling military budgets, reinstituting the draft, talking about the necessity of war with Russia, talking about how we got to have hospital beds to accept all the casualties and so forth, massive numbers of casualties. And they're just going into this cold-blooded murder is what it is, what they're planning. I suspect that they'll get their way, that they'll get their war. I just hope it doesn't go nuclear or biological. Odd in that it's over the Ukraine, the most backward and corrupt country on the continent. Perverse in that it was never even a country until Lenin created it in 1923. But that's not all. The euro is an Esperanto currency. It is the who owes you nothing of fiat currencies. It is a dead duck. All the EU's member countries are bankrupt welfare states. In fact, the European Union itself is going to break up. What's good for individual countries is totally at odds with what the 80,000, and that's what he said, the number, that's the accurate number of EU employees in Brussels, 80,000 bureaucrats. And this thing just got started. NATO, which should have been disbanded when the USSR collapsed, will also disappear, we can hope. Europe will, best case, become a petting zoo for Chinese tourists, a luxury resort for third world migrants. The Middle East, well, while Trump is in office, we might as well adopt Israel as the 51st state. That's not going to go down well with the world's 2 billion Mohammedans. Don't confuse the friendly relations of Washington with the governments of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and others among the 55 Muslim countries of political stability. Most of them are economic basket cases and are extremely unstable. East Asia, well, it's perfectly irrational for China to attack Taiwan. The result would be widespread destruction on both sides, even if the U.S. and or Japan didn't join the party. But governments do irrational things unpredictably. So what will happen with China's claim on the East and on the South China Seas? It should be between them and six of their maritime neighbors, but the U.S. could turn a regional dispute into World War III. The unexpected flashpoint, I think, is going to be Africa. Of the last 60 years, 55 African states, and that's only an approximate number since we don't know how places like Libya, Western Sahara, Somaliland, or Darfur will wind up, but 55 of them have developed significant armies, aided by weapons and training from Europe and the United States. They survive on the export of raw materials, causes of perpetual conflict, and they survive on aid from Europe and the U.S., which is likely to evaporate. All of them, like almost everywhere in the Middle East and Central Asia, are artificial constructs with arbitrary borders. They're all unstable kleptocracies run from the presidential palace. You know, that brings up an issue. You know, what is it when we talk about artificial constructs? You know, we go through and we look at what was done in the Middle East, Iran, Iraq. They were all artificial constructs, right? Why are you going to draw those boundaries there? And as a matter of fact, what they wound up doing, they said, well, roughly we're going to make Iran kind of correspond to the Persian people and Iraq to the Babylonians. But the Medes, the Kurds, are now, they're now called the Kurds, they didn't get a homeland. And so, you know, if you're going to set up arbitrary geopolitical constructs and borders, and you're not going to have them based around a culture and an ethnic group of people, it's not something that's going to survive. That's why it is so important to take a look at these immigration issues. America had a culture, and we had an ethnicity. And the people who are trying to change all that are the real traitors, because they are essentially taking away the very foundation of why America.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
America should exist. America is not just an idea. It's an ethnicity, and it is a culture. And these people are seeking to overturn that. And so that's what creates instability everywhere. When you have these countries that don't have any cohesion because they have lost the culture and the ethnic things that glue them together. The question is, to what degree will Europe, or especially the U.S., or especially Trump, stick their nose into the African border wars and the civil wars? And there's going to be a lot of them. I think Africa is the big powder keg that nobody is talking about. This interview was just before Trump stuck his nose into Nigeria. I think that it has more to do with wanting to get involved into Africa, because of course we have, just as I got Southcom and Northcom, they have AFRICOM, so the globalist American empire has already set up these different jurisdictions around the world, and they've already got military commanders in charge of these areas, as if Africa was somehow belonged to us as colonial masters again. The U.S. domestic political situation, he says, remains combustible with deep cultural and economic fractures. Trump is purposefully and overtly polarizing. He may see himself as Cincinnatus, but he's more like Caesar. He'll keep stirring things up, if only because he knows what his adversaries will do to him when he's out of office. While most sensible people love his anti-wokeism, most of his economic and international interventionism will backfire bigly. I suspect he'll lose the midterms, and the Dems in the House will impeach him yet again. Will they succeed in the Senate this time? Well, we'll have to see. With Trump poised, they ask him to replace Fed Chair Powell. He will exert a stronger influence over central bank policy. What do you expect the monetary environment of 2026 to look like? Casey says, the dollar will approach its intrinsic value as Trump and the Fed create a trillion more of them. It is a formula for chaos. Trump is a big believer in mercantilist-style economics, which holds that the U.S. must export more than it imports. I think he'll try to force that issue with foreign exchange controls of some type, creating yet more distortions. You want to exit the dollar, own precious metals, avoid the stock market, the bond markets, get your money out of the U.S. None of this is a formula for domestic tranquility, not in 2026, 2027, or 2028, or beyond. I'm assuming there will be normal elections in 2028, which is not a very safe assumption. He said, there's no question about the fact that most of Trump's business success has been due to borrowing. Leverage and low interest rates and inflation made this man. And, of course, I would also say bailouts by the Rothschilds also made him. So he's also looking for sponsors, and he's got them lined up. Trump's history and his incorrect understanding of economics tell me that the Fed will buy and monetize more government debt than ever, doing everything they can to artificially depress interest rates for the short run. That could argue for the stock market going higher in 2026, but it is a high-risk bet. Are you feeling lucky, punk? With gold over $4,000 and silver over $60, they're probably where they should be relative to other things, but as unstable as the world is, and because of their unique advantages, they're going to go higher. The smart thing is to speculate on the shares of miners, he said. And, of course, I agree with that. And I had seen him say this years ago. As a matter of fact, I used to follow him pretty closely. I got a chance to meet him and talk to him personally in 1993 at the Libertarian Convention in Salt Lake City. Very interesting, intelligent guy. The problem with investing in the mines is most of them are not in the U.S. You know, most of the gold mines and things like that are in Canada, you know, with Yukon Cornelius. So it's almost impossible to make money there. It really is by the time you go full circle. I mean, you've got to have these things have an astronomical run up before you're going to make any money, because you have to change from American dollars into Canadian. There's a fee for that that's pretty high. And then the fees, at least at the time I was doing it 30 years ago, the fees on the Canadian kind of the penny stock exchange where they have these things, the fees were very, very high to buy and sell these stocks. So you get a big hit when you go in, trading the money in there and paying the brokerage fees that are there. And then you get a big hit going on the way out. You got to pay those same fees for the brokerage and the exchange rate coming out. So it's really hard to make any money. And so even when you look at, yes, the mine stocks are going to go up big time, but your net profits on that are going to be pretty slim. And there's just so many different issues there. It is much, much better to own the gold and silver directly. And, of course, Tony Arterburn can help you with that at Wise Wolf Gold. You go to davidknight.gold, let them know that you're coming from us. So, again, I would just put that caveat with what he had to say. And when we look at what's going to happen with gold and silver, as a matter of fact, and we should look at that, because that's a big part of what's going to be the story next year. As one person pointed out on this talk about putting in a new Fed chair, Trump is out there saying, well, right now we've got a fool at the Federal Reserve. I mean, Biden appointed him. It's too bad. You would have thought that he wouldn't have done that. Well, here's the context for it. It was actually Trump, not Biden, who appointed Jerome Powell. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't remember. He doesn't know that. And this is what he had to say here.
Also, despite the fact that we have a fool at the Federal Reserve, I mean, Biden reappointed him, and it's too bad. You would have thought he wouldn't have done that. But he's an absolute fool who's building a new Federal Reserve, or he's doing a renovation of a building. Maybe he's up to $4.1 billion to do a renovation of a few very small buildings.
So he's a fool because he's spending all this money to do a renovation. What is Trump doing with the White House, by the way? I mean, it's just amazing. He reappointed this horrible guy that I put in there. So, yeah, I would just remind you that Trump is even better at finding value for gold than Yukon Cornelius.
That's right, boys and girls. There's a post-election sale on silver and gold. Trump euphoria has caused a dip in silver and gold. It's time to buy some metals with fiat dollars before they come to their cents. Is go to davidknight.gold to get in touch with the wise wolf himself, Tony Arterburn. He knows where to look to find silver and gold.
Yeah, I know I played that a lot. I enjoyed that. I liked what Lance did with that. He put that together a year ago. And a year ago, it was true. I mean, and we still have the same fundamentals. Everybody a year ago was really hyped up about Trump. You know, it's now going to be crypto because Trump's going to make that happen. Well, Trump discredited crypto more than anything. he did not help crypto. He discredited it. He hasn't done a Bitcoin reserve. And I don't know that's going to happen. He will do something, I think, with stablecoin. And I think that's why he put in Lucky Lutnick. Lucky Lutnick's going to make a lot of money off of stablecoin. They're going to make that happen. But I'm not so sure about what's going to happen with Bitcoin. But gold and silver enter a new era.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute. And I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Britsky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Says Robert Gottlieb. I think it's a new era for an old error, I guess, is what we could say. After an historic run that pushed gold and silver prices to multiple record highs in the final days of 2025, investors are asking the question, how long can this last? Or is something more fundamental underway? Yeah, when you look at what happened just this week, as some people are saying, you had all-time highs, new all-time highs for both gold and silver, and not only that, but for platinum and for palladium on the same day. What does that tell you? It tells you people are running away from these fiat currencies. That's what it tells you. Their fiat is not fooling anybody anymore. So Robert Gottlieb, who used to be the director of precious metals desks at J.P. Morgan and also at HSBC, said, this is not 1980. This is not Reddit. This is not a corner. This is people waking up to hard assets as a necessity. He explained that the yellow metal's defining moment came in 2022 after the U.S. government and its allies weaponized the U.S. dollar against Russia following the invasion of Ukraine. And again, I was saying that. Tony was saying that. That was really the end of the fool me fiat dollar. And, you know, people could see that it was a corrupt system that was being weaponized, and everybody started building their own structures, and so central banks started accumulating gold in a big way because of that. He added that the policy shift appears durable, as many banks, central banks' gold reserves are still relatively low. He pointed out that this pillar of support is extremely important for investors. Central bank demand creates a persistent bid, and they need more and more of it. If they're going to create an alternative to the fiat dollar that they no longer trust, if they're going to have an alternative of BRICS to the SWIFT system of international settlement that they no longer trust, they're going to have the credibility that comes with having a stockpile of gold. And so the central banks need it, and I think you're going to see the stablecoin people are going to have to get into it as well. They're not going to want to try to tell you, for the people who are getting, who are concerned about the fiat currency, especially about the dollar, how are you going to sell them on a stable coin that's basically backed by what everybody's trying to run away with, from the U.S. dollar? Meanwhile, silver's defining moment has emerged only this year. In fact, only since this summer. Gottlieb said investors are just beginning to realize how little silver is readily available for the global marketplace. Robust industrial demand has depleted above-ground silver stockpiles now to critical levels. And again, there has been they've been out-consuming the production of silver now for 6 years in a big way. And this whole thing with the silver battery, that could really drive it if that gets widespread adoption. It's only going to get worse. Gottlieb noted that there's currently no easy fix to the liquidity problem in the silver market. He said, this is not a short-term tightness. We are seeing long-term backwardization. So to me, there is still structural tightness. Now, central banks have created long-term support for gold. He said that he expects robust industrial demand to do the same for silver. He said, it is expecting moderate gains built on structural support, not on mania. Gold is advancing. If gold were to advance 10 to 15% from where it already is, he said that would still translate into very meaningful absolute returns, especially if you put money in a savings account, what are you going to get? You know, less than 1%, maybe 0.1% if, at a bank. And then you buy a T-bill or something, you're going to 3 or 4% maybe. But 10 to 15% would be very moderate for gold, especially for institutional portfolios that are reallocating towards hard assets. Meanwhile, silver remains the more volatile and potentially more rewarding metal. The sell-offs will be bigger, and the corrections will be more painful. Yeah, it's starting to look to me like a roller coaster, like Bitcoin. And so, you know, for that reason alone, I kind of back away. Well, there was another person who wrote an article about the loss of trust in institutions, and he said it really kind of got kicked off in 1965. And it was 64 was the last year they made 90% silver coins. Then after that, they decided they would start heavily debasing the currency. And you also had a move away from JFK, who was going to use silver to try to take away power from the Federal Reserve. Of course, you know how that ended up. And you wound up with some JFK half dollars, but that was the only thing that came out of it. And so this is a clip talking about what has really happened to our purchasing power as we get off of the gold standard.
America's gold was supposed to back the dollar. Leaving the gold standard was the most costly mistake we ever made.
What was so bad about gold?
It kept them honest, but they wanted power. You know, kid, folks today think this is just how life's supposed to be.
What do you mean?
Back in my day, one job could feed a family. My mother stayed home, father worked, and we ate together every night. Didn't realize how good we had it. After the World War, they promised gold-backed dollars, but they broke that promise. They printed paper backed by nothing, funded wars we couldn't afford and shouldn't have been involved in. But France caught on and sent a warship to get back their gold. Truth is, if more countries followed, our vaults would be empty and game over.
I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold.
Turns out, when you fake the money, everything else follows, and you screw the next generation over. And it snowballs, kid. Prices shot up, paychecks didn't, life got tougher, and nobody knew why. We tried raising our kids the old way, but we didn't have the time or the money.
So you outsourced parenting?
Yeah, I guess you could say we did. Government schools raised them, and the TV taught them bad morals. They learned debt, not savings, bought houses they couldn't afford, played video games, gambling, antidepressants, and crimes. Families fractured. Divorce rates doubled. Birth rates plummeted. Things got so bad, people started financing Chipotle.
Financing a burrito?
Yeah, it's getting bad. Obesity. People eating cheap slop instead of real food. We got softer, sicker, and lazier. A nation in decline. But it didn't happen overnight. When Nixon left the gold standard, we traded sound money for a lifetime of debt.
How will they ever pay it back?
I don't think they plan to. Both sides keep spending like there's no tomorrow and leaving the bill to your generation. We didn't get it right, but you've still got a chance. So, take the reins, kid. Hold your ground and don't give up on sound money.
That's a pretty good summary. I like that. That's covers all the bases, doesn't it? And isn't it interesting that Trump is so hyper-focused on a trade deficit, and he doesn't care a whit about the government's deficit, and he's going to step this thing up. He's going to spend more money. He's going to blow it up again, and he's going to lower interest rates, and he's going to print more money and all the rest of this stuff. He is just doing all the wrong things, quite frankly. Everything that you saw there, he's going to do that on steroids. Well, the year was 1965, a great turning point. The last 90% silver, as I said, had been dated in 1964. Everyday silver coinage ended with that date for most denominations. Silver coins are about real money in the hands of real people, not in the hands of bankers or politicians. JFK had hoped to impose a nationwide silver standard as a means of restraining the central bank, and after he was killed, that was ended. There was a welfare state to create and to fund, plus a big war that was building up in Southeast Asia. In such times, governments need resources that hard money cannot allow. The assassination of Kennedy was a devastating blow, especially in the way that so few actually ever believed the official story about how and why it happened. Government never recovered its credibility. The destruction of the money was the telltale sign that something had gone seriously wrong. Confidence in government peaked at 77% in 1964 and then began its long slide, and it sits at 17% today. And they've got a chart here where you can see it just going straight down like that. And I got to say, that pretty much parallels my confidence and government. Although I would take that whole, it'd have that basic shape, that basic curve, but I would just drop it way, way down. It was never high as 64%. It just lower the starting point, and you still have that same curve. Mine is underwater. If the government says it, I don't believe it to start with. So this is an astonishing and undeniable trend about which few will publicly speculate. The bigger government gets, the more it takes on, the less public trust it to do the right thing because we see what it's doing. This is because the people are not stupid. They follow the evidence of their senses. And they keep in mind that the main trends happened long before independent media was hard at work to pull back the curtain on power as it is today. That's one of the reasons why I think central planning always fails. You have, no matter how smart the person is, they can be the smartest person in the room, and if they decide that they're going to centrally plan things, they simply don't have sufficient data. They can't observe everything. And that's why the collective mind of all the people who are working in something, if you have a free market, that works the best because people can observe things and everybody has got a mind, and the collective intelligence and observations of the people in general in a free market are always going to be superior to a central planner, especially if a central planner is somebody as stupid as Trump and his advisors, Peter Navarro, that sack of bricks. The COVID period was another decisive turning point. Scientists with power ruled your life in the name of health while taking away the means to obtain health. The slide can only continue in the future. It's likely that the only kind of politician who stands a chance of getting elected is one who promises to overthrow the system as it is. This is our lives now, just the way things work in a society of low trust. Someone just asked me the chances that the government will in the future demand that we all turn in our silver the same way they did for gold in 33. Again, there's a lot of talk about this now because, and there's a reason for that, because of the bill that they passed in the wee hours of the morning on December the 10th. It talks about confiscating all kinds of commodities and metals except for gold, which was conspicuously left out. One supposes that it is possible, and you can imagine the rationale. Industry needs supply to make the AI revolution and the energy transition possible. Certainly they have the power to do so, even if they don't have the authority. That said, how many will comply? In 1933, plenty of people did not assent with the demand to turn in their gold and instead found other safe havens for it. We aren't likely to go back to a silver standard, but people are adopting it in their own lives.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Remember that one version of the history of the word dollar says that it comes from the Spanish coin taler, T-A-L-E-R. And again, that goes back to the Roman Empire. That was a silver coin they had then. They called it talar. And as Tony has pointed out many times, the word rupee, which is rupee is the name for the Indian currency, the word rupee is actually from Sanskrit for silver. So silver may break $125 an ounce, says one analyst, this next year. But he also looks at what might happen to paper gold and paper silver especially, because the shortage is getting so short that it might expose the fraud behind these paper gold and paper silver, these ETFs. You'll see them traded as GLD or SLV. These paper metals that you can buy in the stock market and the Shanghai stock or gold exchange. He said it could cause a force majeure. Now that's a legal term. It means something has happened that basically cancels this contract for both sides. That's out of our control. He said he could very well see that happening with these paper gold and paper silver contracts this next year because of this shortage. And again, we've seen how this has moved from London to New York and various places. He said they're just shifting stuff around. They're not actually getting any more silver. They're just moving it around. And once people catch on to this, you can have a situation where they just have to declare force majeure. He said, let's say that gold goes to $4,400 and stays there. He says, I'm coming up with this $125 an ounce price, he says. If you look at the gold to silver ratio, and if you drop it to about 55, which has been about the average since 1997, that would say that with gold at 4,400 and the gold to silver ratio at 55, the long-term average, he said that would give you about $80 silver, which we just had not too long. We had like beginning of this week, we went up to like a 85 and then it fell back. He said, this does not represent, however, the bullish case. There are plenty of banks that are predicting that gold is going to go up to 5,000 in 2026, with some predicting, well, in excess of 5,000. He says, so also these five pullbacks in the gold to silver ratio also saw six overshoots. So they don't simply snap back to their long-term average around 55. But he goes, the bullish case would be gold going to 5,000, and you see the ratio dropping to, let's say, 45. So that would give us $111 silver. He said, but 45 isn't the lowest ratio in recent memory. Actually, 2011 was the big one where the ratio dropped to 30. But you could take even the average of these last four or five drops and you'd easily get to around 40. So if you do $5,000 gold and divide it by 40, that's where you get the $125 an ounce silver that was the headline. So he said the bearish scenario would see gold falling back to about 4,000 an ounce or maybe even back to 3,800, and that silver ratio might go back to 78 or 80. He said in that case, you're looking at $50 silver. So again, a lot of upside, not too much downside on that. He said, but we're at the lowest levels of 10 years in Shanghai, and this is what I think is more important. Focus of this article. He said, we know that that London remains very tight on supply. I've been likening this whole thing to a bit of a shell game. It was potentially in short supply in New York, so they moved it from London to New York if tariffs were going to be applied. So there was this arbitrage. And then we saw a tightening up and it moved back to London again. And then most recently, a bunch of it came from China and also from India demand. So this is basically a shell game. Moving it around doesn't give you more silver. It just props up a different place at a given point in time. But you have the same amount of silver under these shells. Okay, so I need my $20 million ounces as delivery. And one of these exchanges says nothing until the last minute. And all of a sudden they tell the people, sorry, force majeure. All the contracts are off. We don't have the ounces. We'll have to settle in cash. And the company says, no, I don't want the cash. I need the silver. And this makes a major headline. And then you see silver gap up and go wild. He said, Asian holders of these futures contracts, many of them aren't using it to hedge anything. They're using it to set themselves up for deliveries of metal. And that's what the Shanghai Exchange is meant to be. He said, it's meant to be willing and able to deliver. And that's what brought it credibility. So he said, so that'd be a really big deal if this next year is the day of reckoning for these ETF exchanges. So get physical. Get physical with this stuff. Go to davidknight.gold. I'll help you get to Tony Arterman. You can start accumulating this stuff gradually on a month-to-month basis if you wish. Or he can help you with any large contracts or with some kind of an IRA or something. But one thing you need to be aware of is the vulnerability of the dollar. If you've got your money parked in the bank, it is evaporating as we speak. Well, let's take a look at the comments, Travis, before we go to the next topic here in a break.
That's right. We've got Marky Mark in New Jersey. Thank you very much, Marky Mark. We appreciate it. It says, actually, Japan started modernizing after Commodore Perry forced them to open up in 1853. After Perry held them at gunpoint, they realized they needed to modernize and arm up, and they did. Mm-hmm. Remember that they sunk the Russian fleet at Tsushima in 1905? Proof of their modernization efforts, they had the Zero Fighter in World War II. Post-World War II only accelerated what had been happening pre-World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Sam Canyon, who's now a monthly supporter. Thank you very much. And he says, thank may God Sam. Continue to bless the Knight family, friends,
oh, thank you.
All of us, with his guidance. Grace and power as we all prepare our hearts to do his work in this new year and until Christ's imminent return.
Yes. And I want to thank everybody for the support that we've received. We've updated the gas gauge to show that we filled it up this month. We hit the target. And just by the way, you know, our schedule is going to be, we're going to have a rebroadcast tomorrow and one on Friday as well. Just taking off 2 days this week instead of the three that we took off last week. And just want to remind you, because I mentioned this earlier in the show, that we are going to be going to, the live show will be 2 hours now a day. And we're going to start an hour later at 10 a.m. Eastern. There are a lot of people on the West Coast that, you know, the 9 o'clock in the morning thing is kind of early for them anyway. So we're going to move it an hour back, but it will be repeated throughout the day as well. But if you want to interact with us, that'll be the opportunity for you to interact with us at those times. And as I said before, even I started on this three-hour show when we were doing radio broadcasts. And when you do a radio broadcast, you have frequent breaks and you have long commercial broadcasts. As a matter of fact, the clock we had, typically you come on, you know, for like 10 minutes and you have a five-minute break of commercials and then come back. And it was so long that I would spend time trying to recap where I left off, and I spent a good bit of my time trying to recap that. So I really didn't like that. I didn't like doing the clock. And so I kind of cut myself off from doing any radio broadcasting because of that. I liked the format of a podcast where I can just talk to people and stay on a topic until we get finished with it and then move on to something else. And so as a result, since we're not going to have, when I was doing it on the radio, I had 3 hour clock time, but actually it was 2 hours of content. And so we're still going to have 2 hours of content, but it won't be 3 clock hours. But we'll still leave the comment area open so you guys can talk to each other, because I know that we've got a great community of people who talk to each other. So all the rest of the stuff will remain the same. And hopefully it's going to free us up a little bit to get a little bit healthier and to also be able to do some good reports like that one I just played. I thought that was a very good report, recapping how things have changed because of dishonest money. Very important for us to all understand that. Well, let's take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. Let me get over to the tab here.
Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
David Knight Show.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Well, as Marjorie Taylor Greene said, so we got Zelensky one day, and tomorrow we got Netanyahu. Can we just do America? Well, the answer, of course, is no. Trump says that he will support an Israeli attack on Iran if Tehran continues its missile program. He said on Monday he would support an Israeli attack on Iran. In other words, we will actually do it for them. If Tehran continues its conventional missile program, or if it works to rebuild the civilian nuclear program that was damaged by U.S. airstrikes during the U.S.-Israeli war in June that lasted for 12 days, and that stopped because Israel was taking a beating. They needed to have not only their Iron Dome thing, but they also needed to have the U.S. help them in terms of intercepting missiles. But the combined defense of U.S. and Israeli anti-missile systems wasn't sufficient to prevent massive damage being done to Israel. So they had a ceasefire, and they stuck to that one. One will be yes, he said, and the other one we will do immediately, talking about Iran's missiles versus the nuclear stuff. And, of course, this is this is Netanyahu's wish list now for over 30 years. As a matter of fact, this is somebody put this clip together. All the many times that he has told us that Iran is going to have a nuclear weapon in just a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months.
This is this year, 2025.
The wherewithal.
2018.
Preserve knowledge to make a bomb very quickly.
if they wanted to do it.
Iran is
2015.
Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They're very close. They're
2012.
From being about 90% of having the rich uranium for an atom bomb. Iran is gearing up to have
2006.
To produce 25 bombs, atomic bombs a year, 250 bombs in a decade.
Ladies and gentlemen,
1996
is running out.
Iran will be capable of
1995
alone, without importing anything, nuclear bombs within 3 to 5 years.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been 1998, 2000, something like that. What do we do with a false prophet? We should drag them outside the camp and stone them, especially when they're trying to get us into a war. Netanyahu was expected to ask Trump to support a new war against Iran over the concerns related to ballistic missiles. Iranian officials have been clear that they will not agree to a deal to scuttle their missile program because that leaves them vulnerable to the U.S. and Israel. They've made no bones about the fact that they seek to destroy Iran. Trump and Netanyahu held a press conference. Trump again expressed support for the idea of another attack on Iran. Any Israeli attacks on Iran would require U.S. support, since the U.S. military played a major role in intercepting Iranian missiles fired at Israel, even though the missiles made it through U.S. and Israeli air defenses. Ultimately, what led Netanyahu to agree to a ceasefire after just 12 days? The U.S. also supported Israel's strikes by refueling Israeli aircraft and then launched its own airstrikes against Iran's nuclear facilities. Whatever they want, they get. So Israel has almost no support whatsoever from the people of the USA, writes one person on social media. This is Furkan Gozukara, who says, yet Trump and the Republicans triple down every week on complete subservience to a foreign state the size of New Jersey. It's almost as if they don't need the votes. No, they don't. It's almost as if there's not really an election. There is a selection. And I believe that is definitely where we are at this point in time. You know, it's just like Immer prostituted himself to the Somalis. You have Trump doing that. Many politicians are being bribed and prostituted and being bribed with stolen money from taxpayers. And so another person put a picture of Trump with a quote, I'm sorry your tax dollars are funding Somali child care fraud, but we've got to go attack Israel. We can't be bothered with this, right?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So Israel's president directly refutes Trump's idea of a pardon for Netanyahu. He said there has been no conversation. And what people in America don't really understand is, as I point out many times, and Gerald Celente has pointed out, Netanyahu is not all that popular in Israel. He really struggled to put together a coalition government. And he is also facing a lot of corruption charges there as well. And so Trump goes to Israel and he addresses the Knesset. And he says, you need to pardon Netanyahu. I mean, who cares about, what was it that he said here? Cigars and champagne, because that was part of it. You know, there were personal bribes that he had taken and things like that, personal gifts that he had taken as his own. That's against the law there as it is here. But it wasn't simply cigars and champagne. He said, who cares about that, said Trump. Netanyahu has also been accused of engaging in quid pro quos and of granting regulatory favors in exchange for favorable coverage from media. Does this sound like somebody that we know here in America? I tell you, both of these guys, Netanyahu and Trump, are birds of a feather. And they should be jailbirds together, frankly. They are thieves. They are murderers. And so, and of course, Trump is also a liar. He says, so how do you not pardon this guy? He said to the Knesset. He said, he's a wartime prime minister. He's a hero. How do you not give him a pardon? He said, I spoke to the president. He tells me that it's on its way, Trump said. And you can't do better than that, right? And then the Israeli president spoke up, Isaac Herzog. His office released a statement shortly after that. This is actually Trump not talking before the Knesset, but at Mar-a-Lago. So the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog said he denied any conversation like this ever took place. They said there has been no conversation between President Herzog and President Trump since the pardon request was submitted, said the statement. So in other words, Trump is just lying. And they can call him out on that, because what's Trump going to do? Is he going to criticize his masters? He's not allowed to criticize Israel. They pay him. Trump needs to carry out regime change in Iran if he wants to be known as the peace president, says Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz, who was always a hardcore Democrat until it came to Trump, and then Trump was such a Zionist puppet that Alan Dershowitz changed sides. The rest of the world is moving away from Israel, but Trump is moving closer and closer to Israel, said Dershowitz. We could say the same thing about Epstein as well. The rest of the world is moving away from him, but Trump is trying to keep all this stuff covered up. Dershowitz went on, he said, Israel doesn't even need American support. All Israel needs is a green light from Trump to go in on its own and to destroy Iran's nuclear facilities. So Israel doesn't need America's support? Then fine, I guess we can stop sending them so much money and material, right? Except if you even talk about that, they shout racist, racist, racist at you, right? There will never be peace in the Middle East unless there is regime change in Iran, said Dershowitz. Because that's what they want. And if they don't get it, they're going to keep killing people. If Trump wants to be known as the peace president, he has to go to war with Iran, says Dershowitz. Yeah, doublethink here, isn't it? Dershowitz also ruled out a two-state solution. He argued that the Palestinians have not yet earned themselves a state. How did Israel earn statehood? Wasn't it given to them? And they earned it, I guess, by kicking people out of their homes. He said, look, Palestinians haven't earned themselves a state. They have to earn a state the way the Jewish people earned a state over hundreds of years of state building.
You mean by buying American politicians?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean, when you look at this, it was earning the state. And how does he get a timeline of hundreds of years? I mean, it was a UN declaration after World War II, but maybe he's talking about the involvement with the Rothschild family, because, again, Dershowitz is proud of his involvement with the Rothschilds. That's what got him involved with Jeffrey Epstein, vice versa, right?
I did absolutely, categorically, nothing wrong. And, you know, that's what lawyers do, and that's what people do. I was introduced to him by the lady in Lord Rothschild.
Whoa, and he even adopts that air when he says it.
And he knew all the most prominent people.
Yeah, right there with the Zionist stuff. Lord and Lady Rothschild, he even develops this air as he's talking about it. Well, you know, I talked about this AI thing and this guy, and it's now become something of a fad. Everybody's doing it. I think it was one of the recent AI upgrades that somebody put together a prompt, I guess, that did this. And so everybody's doing it, typically doing it with movie stars and typically going from one classic movie to the other and, you know, getting there with the main character from the movie, The Godfather, whatever, Marlon Brando, and in the background is The Godfather set. He holds up there and takes a selfie, and then he runs to another classic movie or something like that and does it. Well, somebody did that with Epstein. Epstein taking selfies with all these important people, you know, like Dershowitz is talking about, the Rothschilds. Right? I thought you'd enjoy seeing this. There he is. He's taking a selfie with some guys in jumpsuits, prison jumpsuits. And there's Jeffrey Epstein taking selfies. There he is with Hugh Hefner. And there were Macaulay Culkin and Donald Trump and Home Alone. And Oprah Winfrey and others. Alan, and that's Woody Allen and his stepdaughter that he married. Bill Gates, I think. Was that Bill Gates? I was looking away. Roman Polanski. There we go. Kevin Spacey. Only the best and finest character that he hangs around with, right? He's going downstairs in the basement area. Oh, there we are. I guess that's Pam Bondi, and you got all the people there that are working on redacting the documents, and here's his pal in prison that he's taking a picture with. Who is that? I don't know who that is. Do you know who that is, Travis? Good enough for me. Yeah. Now he's going on set with Ellen DeGenerate. Here we go. Stephen Hawkins. Of course, he was involved with Epstein. And here's the big one. The U.S. Congress is coming up here. Yeah, I don't know who this guy is, but they got one coming up with the Congress. But he's not there yet. He's got a lot more people to see. There's Woody Allen again. There's the guys that are recording what he's what's happening in his place there. Back to Trump. He doesn't want his picture taken. And here's the big one. All the people in Congress giving him a standing ovation and applauding for him. They're happy to have their picture taken with Jeffrey Epstein. And there's Ghislaine Maxwell, yeah, in her orange jumpsuit behind bars. And Harvey Weinstein is one of the last ones there, yeah. Isn't it great? You know, I guess Alan Dershowitz and Jeffrey Epstein, they're the real-life Zelligs that are hanging around with all these celebrities and the actually the scum of the earth, quite frankly. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Oh, got the wrong one here. We'll be right back.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes. going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Well, and as we listen to the Russian dance from the Russian composer Tchaikovsky, we have Zelensky claiming that Trump is trying to sweeten the deal by giving him some boots. Boots for Christmas is what he wants. I'd love to give him a boot. anyway, he says that Trump is offering boots on the ground. I mean, just a couple of days ago, he was saying, well, Trump has floated the idea that he's going to give us security guarantees for 15 years. Well, that would involve exactly this. But, of course, he wanted it for 30, 40, 50 years. When I have American troops on the ground. Well, Zelensky has now claimed that Trump is considering the possibility of deploying American troops to Ukraine as negotiations towards peace with Moscow stall. This is presumably connected with a promise of future security guarantees. And I find it ominous that Trump, neither Trump nor anybody in the Trump administration has said anything about the fact, well, no, we didn't offer him 15 years of security guarantees, let alone 50. And no, we didn't offer boots on the ground. No, there's crickets from Trump when Zelensky is saying this. This is something of a surprise, as the White House made no indication of this in any statement, public or based on anonymous officials. But they haven't denied it, you see. Throughout the nearly four-year-long war, the question of Western boots on the ground has been raised at various times, and Trump was firmly against it. Of course, that was when he was running for office. Once he becomes president, he's a completely different guy. But the U.S., whether under Biden or Trump, has always denied sending American troops into Ukraine as a solution. Instead, it is well understood that this could escalate things between Washington and Russia, escalate toward a full-scale war, perhaps even a nuclear war. Zelensky made the remarks during a WhatsApp conversation with journalists. He said, boots on the ground is a talking point that is being echoed now with EU leaders. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk said the U.S. has declared its readiness to participate in security guarantees for Ukraine after concluding peace. This includes, for example, the presence of American troops on the border, on the line of contact between Ukraine and Russia. They want to put us right there on the front lines as a tripwire into war. You know, that's the interesting, you know, Pat Buchanan got canceled because he was America First. And one of the things he said was that if you look at NATO, this is set up and we've got all these different agreements. We've got tripwires all over the world to drag us into every potential conflict. But of course, you know, Trump doesn't wait for that anymore. He starts his own now. But that's exactly what NATO is. NATO is nothing other than, folks, a booby trap. A nuclear booby trap. Zelensky says U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine is being discussed, but troop deployment is really up to the United States, he says. Trump has regularly emphasized that he would not contemplate boots on the ground in Ukraine. For example, just last August, Trump pledged that American troops would not be on the ground in Ukraine. But he provided little other insight in the scale of U.S. security guarantees as he pushes to end Russia's war on its neighbors. You have my assurance, and I am the president, said Trump. It's kind of like Richard Nixon, you know. Well, when the president assures you, you can count on it, right? These lying thieves. When asked what assurances he has that there won't be an American boots on the ground to defend against another Russian incursion, he tells us that we have his word. What do you think Trump's word is worth? It's not worth a plug quarter, actually. That's not worth the pennies that he banned. If he were to reverse his own policy, it would be hugely unpopular amongst his base. He doesn't care. He knows that they, whatever he does, they're going to follow him. Broadly, the American public would likely see such a risky move as a recipe for another U.S. troop quagmire abroad in a very complex battle space. Well, there doesn't seem to be a lot of criticism about the quagmire he's trying to set up for us in Venezuela. Trump has not contradicted any of this stuff, even though it's being widely discussed. You've got European leaders talking about it. You've got Zelensky talking about it. Russians are talking about it. Trump's not saying anything. Security guarantees, U.S. boots on the ground. Yeah, don't send troops. Don't send boots. Instead, what you need to do is you need to send him some David Knight t-shirts, maybe.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. You should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.
That's right. Don't give him boots on the ground. Give him the boot. At the very least, you could give him a t-shirt from the DavidKnight.News show. But there was a satire video that was put out by the Russians using AI. They've got Putin as Santa Claus, and he's handing out gifts to various world leaders. I want to show that to you. Wait till you see the gift that they imagined Putin giving Zelensky. Here it is. There's Putin as Santa Claus. He's got his sack of gifts there. Oh, there's the currencies. And on the tree we have, oh, there's the American dollar. Look, it's falling. It crashed. There's the Indian leader, Modi. He gets a jet. He gets a jet from Russia. He gets some Russian arms. And here's Trump. What does he give to Trump? Here's a picture of himself and Trump. And here is one. Maduro.
Yes, peace. Forever, forever, forever.
He's going to dance that is something about peace. Here's Erdogan of Turkey. He gets a little snow globe there. Ah, Kim Jong-un. What's he get? From Russia with gratitude. Yeah, a sword. There you go. Here's Zelensky. What did he get from Putin? It's a pair of handcuffs. There's a Viktor Orban of Hungary. He gets gas from Russia. And the lights come on in Hungary because that is over. And here's Putin taking his bow as Santa Claus. Well, U.S., we have more AI. AI can actually be kind of fun putting some of this stuff together.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's reports that claim that the CIA has now done a land strike in Venezuela because, you know, the clown ship just ain't cutting it anymore. We got to get on land somehow. So we got to get this clown show on the road in Venezuela. And who are you going to call if you want to have an illegal war? Well, it's the CIA, of course. So Trump has claimed that the U.S. has, quote, knocked out, unquote, a, quote, big facility. There we go. As part of the U.S. campaign targeting alleged drug boats in Latin America and against Venezuela. All that is nonsense. CNN reported on Monday that the CIA conducted a drone strike on the port facility, a port facility in Venezuela, although nobody is really sure. This is such a big facility, and it is so totally destroyed, and yet nobody can find it. Nobody can find any evidence of some port that's been destroyed. I mean, this is such a clown show, this war. But people are going to die. People have already died. The president was asked by a reporter on Monday about the comments and whether the alleged attack was conducted by the U.S. military. He says, well, it doesn't matter, right? Military can kill people, the CIA can kill people, I can kill people, whatever, you know. But there was a major explosion at a dock area, he said, where they load the boats up with drugs. It was an implementation area that is no longer around. This is a dirty, lying war from a dirty, lying president. It's not about the drugs. It's not about fentanyl. He's not using that anymore, right? It's not about drugs at all. This is not even about the Maduro regime change. This is about oil. Trump is nothing other than a thief, a pirate, a murderer, a liar. Any U.S. attack on Venezuela would be illegal under the Constitution, which requires congressional authorization to launch a war. The Trump administration has been clear that its goal in this campaign against Venezuela is the ouster of Maduro, while using the false claims that his government is a cartel as a pretext. This is Zero Hedge writing. A seizure of two tankers, a step that is traditionally considered to be an act of war, has been strongly denounced by UN and many nations. It's been strongly denounced by anybody that has a shred of conscience, morality, or legal concerns. So it was CNN who first reported it. Exclusive CI carried out a drone strike on a port facility in the Venezuelan coast. They said the details had not been previously reported. They had anonymous sources. The U.S. government believed it was being used by drug gangs to store drugs and move them onto boats for shipping. No one was present at the facility at the time it was struck, so there were no casualties, according to the sources. It was such a busy drug port that nobody was there. And they don't mention fentanyl. It's just vague drugs in general. Two sources said that U.S. Special Forces were providing intelligence, but that was denied by a spokesperson for U.S. Special Ops Command. Said, we didn't support this in any way, including intel support. So until the CIA attack earlier this month, the only known U.S. strikes on Venezuelan targets were against the boats in international waters, where we had not declared war, where we were not attacked. CIA declined to comment. Of course they would. Now, if you want to talk about drugs, you'd have to put this in the context of the CIA as a drug-pushing criminal cartel coming after a rival gang. That would be the context if it really were about drugs. But it's not about drugs. It's about oil. Trump acknowledged in an interview on Friday that the U.S. had knocked out some type of, quote, big facility where the ships come from. This guy's got like a 8-year-old understanding of what's going on, if that. He declined to comment when asked whether the attack was conducted by the military or the CIA. He said, we hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement. He actually said that. Did you know that, Travis? The implementation area is where they implement. What? We don't know. He is their
useful
idiot.
Was that issued by the Department of Redundancy Department?
Yeah, that's right. Trump is the useful idiot that these people have installed as president. Trump earlier this year expanded the CIA's authorities to conduct operations in Latin America, including inside Venezuela. But even then, the U.S. military had the legal authority only to conduct strikes against suspected traffickers at sea and not on land. But, you know, hey, we just change all this stuff. Look, it's not that far off the truth when Trump put in a portrait of Joe Biden as an auto pin. That was closer to the truth than anybody realized. And it wasn't something that was specific to Joe Biden and his dementia. All the presidents have been auto pins for the people who have installed them. Trump is an auto pin for Netanyahu. He's an auto pin for the CIA. He's an auto pin for Mossad. He's an auto pin for a lot of people, the billionaire Silicon Valley people. Trump himself is an auto pin. They use him as a figurehead, and he signs this stuff into law for the special interests that are out there that are really running the country. You know, you could take all of our recent presidents and replace them all with a portrait of an auto pin. That'd be the most accurate thing you could do. So, again, the CIA conducted a drone strike in a remote dock along Venezuela's coastline, a so-called big facility. And this whole article is about speculation as to where that could be. It was such a big facility, such a big deal, that nobody has any idea where it could be. It said, even after this, neither the CIA nor the White House nor the Pentagon would comment on it. Because, again, we have secret wars. We don't debate war. We just do it. We're not going to tell you what we're doing about it or why we're doing it. It's going to be unofficially declared. And they declare that it is always justified. Every bit of this is a lie. Speculation has persisted as an effort to identify which facility was hit and what damage was done. Some analysts have highlighted a mystery explosion at an industrial zone in San Francisco municipality. They have a San Francisco in Venezuela as well. However, local reports also suggest the likelihood that that fire was sparked by an electrical accident. So it wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't totally obliterated. We're not even sure if that was the facility that he's talking about. Nobody knows what he's talking about. This is a fantasy war. It's like fentanyl. They can't find it. It's amazing. CIA operatives, this is the way it's reported by The Sun out of the UK. These are the people who, be careful about this site. The people who are pushing war use them a lot. These are the people who said a couple of days ago that the Iranian president has declared total war on us. No, it's exactly the opposite. The Iranian president was saying the U.S. and Israel and Europe have declared total war on us. They're not just shooting missiles at us, but they want to destroy our economy and all the rest of this. So The Sun is saying CIA operatives launched a massive drone attack. So massive that nobody is actually certain where it was. So again, just be careful of outlets like The Sun. It is despicable.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
To be cheering war and to be boasting about what you've accomplished when you've accomplished absolutely nothing, and nothing is going to be accomplished with this war. We've got just a couple of minutes left here. Do we have any comments?
Yes, we do. We've got one from Jason Barker. And, of course, Jason Barker is part of Knights of the Storm. You can find them at their website, knightsofthestorm.com. And they have a schedule of our program and Tony's and Guard's and theirs as well. So go check out knightsofthestorm.com. He says, anytime we send certain systems to allies, we send advisors. The thing about the term boots on the ground is that it refers to getting over 50% of a unit there, so you can have people there and not be boots on the ground. It's a wordplay game.
Yeah. All of it. It's all lies, as Audi said. It's
at
all
least,
lies.
You know, they're not doing something like, well, we issued them moccasins, so they're not wearing boots.
Yeah, you would think if it's the CIA, they're going to be using slippers because they like to slip around and not make any noise there, but... Yeah, I just wish we could give all these people the boot, but we can't, unfortunately. And so, you know, when we look at what is coming up, again, I think one of the hopes for this year is that maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene, since she was so dearly loved by the MAGA people, maybe she can lead them out of this doublethink cult that they've got themselves into, this delusion that they got there. And you had Scott Jennings, who actually is a conservative on CNN. He's very articulate. He's a good debater. But he has lost all credibility by becoming just a ridiculous cheerleader. And as they were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, he comes out and says, Marjorie Taylor Greene has become a lib. Well, you've become a sycophant. You've got absolutely no integrity left whatsoever. She was talking about the fact that people need to start paying attention to what Trump is doing and not what he's saying. Well, have a happy new year. Thank you for all of your support. And remember, next week we're going to be starting the show an hour later, but it'll be a 2-hour show live. And you can join us, and we'll have the show looping around as well. So have a happy new year. Thank you.
Time for us. What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This podcast is brought to you by Epicor Profit 21 ERP, purpose-built for distributors. In sports, the best teams don't chase the scoreboard. They set the pace. And in distribution, pace matters. 60% of the top distributors run on Profit 21 because it delivers real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and connected operations from sales to fulfillment. Don't play catch-up. Set the pace with Epicor Profit 21 ERP. Visit epicor.com/win.